Tonight, Pretty Late favorite Dan Katowski rides sidecar as we talk to the leader of PACT, Steve Boise. Then later, Patty talks to Holly Simon about an interesting conversation they were a part of on Facebook. And finally, Chris J. Fair previews a show you can't miss. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
The Cubs are winning 9-6. Is that still accurate? Is that still the game? They're in the sixth inning, and the Cubs are winning 9-6. I know the Blackhawks lost tonight, but we're going into the playoffs. That's a done deal. We're in. God, that's happening. But we're on the third game of we're already 2-0 opening the season.
Undefeated season.
I can't. I'm fine. I mean, we know we're not going to go. We know we're not going undefeated, but this is exciting.
You're right.
I'm fine. I opened my closet today, and my Cubs jersey was sitting there, and I was like, do I wear it today? But then if I wear it today and they win, then am I then wearing it for the rest of the season every single game? I can't do it.
Yeah, that's a lot of games.
I got to wait until we rally. This is weird.
Wait until playoff season. Wait until September.
I don't know.
And then start wearing the same outfit all the time. I mean, be excited all year.
Yes. Well, I think if I just wear it over a dress and a different dress every day, that works kind of.
Oh, that's true.
Over stuff, because it's a big shirt.
You're going to do like the Michael Jordan thing?
I'm so excited.
He had the North Carolina pants on all the time, didn't he?
Under his Bulls shorts?
Yeah, he had his North Carolina shorts every game.
Okay.
Same pair.
Did he wash them?
I've never asked him.
I would wash.
Yeah, I would. I would recommend.
Yep.
All wash those. At least every so often. Maybe not every game, although you get pretty sweaty during an NBA basketball game.
Yeah, a little bit. You think a little bit?
There's a little bit of sweaty.
Seems to be a lot of cardio going on.
A lot of effort is put into those kind of things at that level.
Esmeralda, have you ever played basketball? Is that a sport you've enjoyed playing?
No. it's a lot of jumping and running.
I kind of enjoyed the held sigh. No, it's a lot. It is a lot of running. And it's got to be strange when you've never played something before and people just assume. They just throw a ball at you. Just like, here.
That's not how it happened.
It happened. I was playing intramural sports. I was 20 years old at U of I, and one of the girls from my dorm joined our intramural basketball team. Intramural basketball team.
Correct.
And I guess the assumption is when someone joins a team,
they can play.
You figure you don't got to start with don't run with the ball.
Yeah.
You got to dribble that.
Not by college.
By college.
You would assume that you would know how to at least dribble.
There was a girl in my dorm, Kathy. Let's call her Kathy because that was her name. Camerley. And she was so frustrated because we were both jocks. But it was so sweet and innocent that this girl, we passed the ball to her and she just starts running with it like it was a football. And we Kathy's like yelling at her, dribble the ball! If she didn't already know to dribble it, she's not going to know how to dribble the ball.
Oh, yeah, that's going to take a while.
I mean, walking and dribbling.
You just have to throw her off the team at that point because she's not.
She's so tall.
She's not ready.
Kathy was so excited because she was so tall. So, no, we had her just stand in the middle of the key.
Yeah, okay.
And just like wave her arms and knock the ball out of other people's hands, grab the ball for a rebound.
Sounds amazing.
Well, when I started playing basketball, my job was whatever you do, don't dribble.
Oh.
That was mine was to rebound.
Did you steal?
I stole. I fouled like nobody's business. I was a dirty, dirty. Hi,
you're
everybody.
You're really good at fouling. Audience.
There's even a. We rarely get anybody with a suitcase. Are you on your way to a hotel or on your way home from work? On your way to a hotel? Oh, welcome to Chicago. Hold on one second. Let me see if I can figure out how to do this. Are you going to do this?
Street
and this?
Man,
hi, where are you visiting from?
From Carbondale.
From Carbondale.
Wow, so far.
It is far. Stop it. It's Southern Illinois.
You're right.
Yes. Did you Amtrak up here? Oh, it's a good ride, isn't it? Any delays? Because sometimes it can be a little dicey.
We were lucky this time.
Oh, congratulations. And what are you in town for?
A conference.
A conference? Yeah. Can you tell us the nature of the conference?
It's a political science conference.
A little poli-sci?
Yeah.
We say poli-sci. Is that a little too inside?
You're in the loop.
A little behind the curtain?
Yeah.
A little fancy?
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. Welcome to Chicago. Hope you have a great time.
Thank you so
Hope
much.
Hope it warms up a little bit. We've had it every season. We're calling this Sprinter, just so you know.
Yeah.
Well, enjoy. Have a good one.
Thank you.
And
there's a scientist out there.
He's
a political scientist. Yeah.
Well, I wish that there were more political scientists.
You
know, I watched video today of Ted Cruz, candidate Ted Cruz in the Bronx.
I watched that video too.
Well, one of our bosses knows that heckler that has now kind of gone viral. Look at Esmeralda. She's like, she knows him? Yeah, her husband's friends with him. Can you look up at the name? It's like Rebel something.
Well, I'm thinking interview.
We tried. He refused our interview.
We were also thinking interview.
We thought
exact same tone.
Right.
Yes. Well, he's refused interviews with everybody. He just apparently mic drop. I've said what I needed to say, and that's it.
I am content with what my message was.
Yes. Well,
his name's Rodrigo mm-hmm. something.
Yes. And see, this is something we'll talk about a little bit later with Holly Simon. I said one thing and I walked away. I did not want to engage in an online argument with anybody. I believe that Rodrigo was like, I said what I needed to say. There's nothing else. It all stands on its own. But Holly Simon and I will discuss it because, you know, I did kind of drag her into a fight. I didn't have to, but I think everything turned out just fine.
Diaz.
Rodrigo Diaz.
That's it.
Yes. And he shares some of his thoughts in English and in Spanish. Did you see where the governor of Florida was also engaged by a barista who was upset that he was defunding Planned Parenthood? I have to say, we've talked about these candidates and how perhaps the bar has been lowered as far as the reaction, the kinds of things that is drawing. You know, oh, I love him because he'll say anything. And I find that disappointing. But it seems that also people who have, you know, perhaps not said anything before as well are also coming out of the woodwork and going, you know what, I'm done too.
Yeah,
I also have something to say.
It's a shame that they're treating some of these people who are speaking up as if they're the problem. Because exactly as you just said, if Trump's campaign or if someone's campaign is to say what they're thinking, to say what other people won't say, then they should be open to criticism, especially criticism like this. Because it's the other people, the people on the other side.
Hold on one second. I hate to interrupt this conversation. Steve Boise has just messaged us.
Uh-huh.
He thought I meant next Thursday. Steve, stay home. Stay home.
We can do next Thursday.
We can do a phone call
with you for a little bit.
We can do a phone call too.
Yeah, we'll call you for like 10 minutes.
He has an event to promote. But yes, I'm sorry. You continue. I just wanted to.
I want to give an on-air. Like, and the point that you made is that if a presidential candidate is going to say that they're allowed to speak their mind as freely as possible, then the people that they encounter should also be able to speak their minds.
That's the point of our conversation later. Is if you want to use language, then my reaction to it should also be acceptable. My reaction to say you're wrong, or that's not a nice thing to say, or that's unpleasant. Right. Why is the opposite? Is it not acceptable?
Even if you have the platform to say it in front of a big crowd, if you're opening the conversation, then I get to respond to it no matter who I am.
Right.
You know?
It's not you. We love him because he'll say whatever and everybody just shut the hell up.
Right. People are allowed to object to your points.
Yes.
I mean, we're not saying anything just as long as it's a civil conversation. That's
okay.
Oh,
good luck with that. That seems to be, that's gone on the wayside as well.
Yeah.
That's
actually also a point he makes, you know, is that people are too politically correct and this and that. So I don't know what he wants.
Well, we've also covered that where politically correct, I'm tired of being politically correct, also means replace politically correct with nice. I'm tired of being nice or respectful.
Exactly. Right. Respectful.
What do you now consider to be politically correct? Like, I think, you know, some of the early incarnations of it was don't say Indian, say Native American. Like, people are like, what? That's what I've been calling them. Okay, we have a request to make. If you don't mind, perhaps it's actually inaccurate. That would be the reason for that particular instance. But I think that everyone started deciding what was politically correct. There's no way to enforce anything. Maybe if you're respectful and someone gets mad at you, you know, just walk away from the argument.
Yeah, that seems like a good idea.
Why don't you just own what you believe?
Right. And then
and you can disagree, but like, but to get mad at somebody, to get so angry that you.
No, and we recorded the conversation with Holly, so I unfortunately do know what you guys are going to say. And in response to kind of what you're saying right now, absolutely. If someone engages you in a conversation and they say they disagree with you, you don't have to get offended. You don't have to get mad.
Right.
You can just say, okay, well, you're giving your point of view. I've given mine. And great. So we can still be friends.
Yes.
Outside of those points.
We can still be, or not friends. Because we've now reached a wall that seems insurmountable.
Right.
We disagree. And so, I kind of have problems with
it. Have a nice life.
Yeah, exactly. But to internalize it, because I guess people believe that their opinions are their identity. Is that where we are at?
I guess so.
That their language, that the you know, what they choose to express themselves with.
People do not like being corrected, even if what is getting corrected is something that they know they actually agree with.
Is it being corrected or is it just finding out how someone else feels is annoying?
Yeah, or getting informed,
that
I guess.
I am so annoyed that you are hurt, but I'm
so
hurt.
Annoyed you have feelings.
I'm hurt. I don't know why that's...
Right.
Why are you hurt? That's how I just reacted. Right.
You shouldn't be hurt. I didn't hurt you.
Get thicker skin. Okay. I guess.
Right.
I'm going to work on that.
Right.
I just thought I thought you said something and you said it publicly. And
took
so
it the
I'm
one way.
Responding to it. I'm just going to go and get thicker skin. More to this at 720 WGN.
Yo,
You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. We have Craig Collins, our producer, running the show, taking all of your phone calls, including one that just came in. We were talking about intolerance, ignorance, and responding to language that perhaps we don't agree with, trying to have a civil conversation, and why do people take things personally? Why do they internalize? Why do they think their opinion is their identity? And then what was the phone call about?
I got a phone call and someone said, yeah, I totally agree with you guys. I love American Idol.
Oh, yeah.
I don't. And she's really sad it's over.
Aww. So, is it all a metaphor?
It is a metaphor.
Is it a metaphor for American Idol?
Yeah, it could be. I think that.
That ended tonight, right? That show?
That's it.
Okay.
All done.
All right.
I watched the season I watched 1.5 seasons. So the season I watched, the winner was Phillip Phillips.
Oh. I mean, I watched the Kelly Clarkson season, the season of American Idol.
The?
Yeah, that was the first one. Kelly was the champion, and she beat Justin Guardini.
Where did that guy go?
I don't
know. How's he doing?
I think he's done. I mean, they made that From Justin to Kelly movie, so he was a movie star.
Oh, there you go.
He was in a commercial for something.
Recently?
Yeah, like he was a tiny, there's a commercial, candy bar,
was he a tiny dancer?
No, he wasn't a tiny dancer. No, he was a tiny little man. Like he's a tiny little man on a tiny horse or something. Oh. He wasn't just a great, like he was dressed as some weird character thing.
What?
But yeah, I think it was for a candy bar. You know those candy
bars. Are you sure this wasn't a dream you had?
It's a good dream. There's candy. There's a little man on a horse.
Yeah.
It's just a Guarini.
Yeah, you got to really figure out what that meant.
Very creative. I like the way her brain works.
Yeah, that was the only season I watched. I saw a little bit of the Clay Aitken, Ruben Studdars.
Okay.
Do you remember those guys?
My judges were Aerosmith guy.
Oh, no. So you came in late. No, I'm talking about Simon Cowell.
Yeah. No, I never saw a single. You know why? Because I thought he was mean.
Yeah, he is mean.
He was too mean.
That was
yeah,
the point.
But he was being honest.
See? And that's fine. And you know what you do when someone's being honest and you don't like it? You just go, I'm going to see what else is on.
Right.
You don't write angry letters. You don't attack him personally. I got nothing else to say about him except, that's mean.
I don't know.
I didn't think he was so mean. Half the time. He was a bit mean sometimes, but half the time he was saying something that was true and everyone was just mad because they loved whoever it was.
I don't know if he didn't seem to always say something true. Sometimes he said something really mean when probably the truth was you weren't great. You were still a good singer.
Didn't he often make comments about size and appearance?
He made all kinds, yeah. And he would also say stuff like, that was the worst thing I've ever heard in my whole life.
Right.
And that seems like it's not possible.
Right. There's so many worse things.
There have to be.
I always think, when I say I love something, I know that's an exaggerate. People will make that sort of sarcastic, do you love it? Are you in love with
it?
That's Senator Katowski. He's here. How many seasons did you watch many seasons of it, Esmeralda?
Oh, I watched on and off.
On and off.
I know I watched the first one.
The season.
Yes, the season. But then kind of dropped off. It just got to be stupid.
What about The Voice?
I was going to say, The Voice
seems... The Voice is so boring to me.
I think The Voice is what crushed American Idol, though.
Yeah,
people saw it done differently, and
with
it was more dynamic.
Around.
Yeah, it's very dynamic, and
the
you have teams
turned.
And
yeah.
Well, I also where are those people that won?
What do you mean?
The people who've won
the Voice.
That's
where
not the point
they?
Of The Voice.
That's a good point.
No, it's
just
not.
To entertain me.
Mm-hmm. No
you know
point.
What you're talking about? Why do they have to be famous after?
That's how
many singers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
American Idol. Nobody's famous except Kelly Clarkson and
Underwood
and Carrie Underwood.
I like Phillip Phillips. His song was used over and over again.
That person's not famous.
Fantasia was for a little bit. Sure, she was.
Excuse me. What's her face from here?
Excuse me. But she didn't win. Jennifer Hudson did not win.
Yeah, but she was on the show.
Yeah, it's not the same thing.
She was on. It made her a star. That let her break.
Did it make her a star, or did she go on to do that one movie that made her a star?
But that opened doors for her.
Exactly.
To become the star that she is.
I don't know. I gotta go get Dan Katowski.
What do you think she would say? Yeah, go get Senator Katowski. Go. What am I giving you orders? Go get him. That sounded a little much, didn't it, Esmeralda?
It was fine.
Did you get to celebrate National Beer Day? I did not do that.
Beer or beard?
Beer.
Beer.
Cerveza.
No,
I did not know it was that till too late.
I didn't even know until now.
I know. Does one just sip a beer and go, I hope everyone else is doing this as well? I don't know what the
collective beer sip.
The collective beer sip. Hello, Rob Martier. How are you doing?
I will catch up on National Beer Day.
National Beer Day.
I will catch up.
Yeah. It seems like
it's
appropriate.
How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. I'm ready for summer. I don't know what happened today, but it was dismal. And then there was like a back and forth about whether or not the president of the United States was going to be on the Kennedy, if he was going to be in his helicopter, if they were going to shut down all the exits. And
what do you do? He ended up going down Lakeshore Drive? Isn't that where?
I believe it was Lakeshore Drive.
Yeah.
Senator Katowski, do you have any of the inside scoop?
He was in Park Ridge. He was at my house.
Was he hanging out at your house? A little bit.
He likes Monopoly.
Were you did not serve? No, because he became president when you were
I served in the same chamber that he served in, but not at the same time.
Same chamber, but not at the same time. Right. Concurrently.
No concurrence. There was agreement, though.
There was? As far as what? Oh,
as far as the fact that we didn't serve at the same time. No. What?
Yes?
Yeah.
Concurrence?
No.
Are you correcting my English?
No.
She doesn't have a degree in English. Why don't we start all over again in just a moment? More after this on 720 WGN. The senator's in the studio.
I must be cruel only to be kind. Thus bad begins, and worse remains behind. One more word, good lady.
What should I do?
Not this, by no means, that I bid you do. Let the bloat king tempt you again to bed, pinch wanton on your cheeks, call you his mouse, and let him for a pair of reachy kisses or paddling in your neck with his damned fingers make you to ravel all this matter out, that I essentially am not in madness, but mad in craft.
Thou should, if words be made of breath and breath of life, I have no life to breathe what thou hast said to me.
I'm not jumping on Shakespeare. Are they still talking? Is it dramatic?
Yeah, this is really dramatic.
I want to hear how this turns out.
This is so dramatic. He's hugging her.
Oh, dear.
She's hugging him back.
Is that his mother?
Oh, it's Hamlet and his mom? They seem so happy. They don't seem happy.
No.
Yeah.
She's crying. This is David Tennant. Is this BBC?
This must be the BBC Hamlet.
Oh, this sounds great.
Act 3, Scene 4, Hamlet. Totally Hamlet.
Totally Hamlet.
Definitely not something other than Hamlet.
Hold out thy desperate hand. Art thou a woman? Thy form cries out thy art.
Romeo
and Juliet. Hi, how are you doing, Senator? Griffin just did Midsummer Night's Dream today at school.
Tomorrow. Creeps in this petty pace from day to day. It's the last syllable of recorded time.
Macbeth, right?
And all of our yesteryears. Yep.
Hey, wait a minute, guys. I can do it, too.
Yes?
Et tu, Brute?
Caesar!
Nailed it!
Julius Caesar. Nailed it!
He's so talented.
I know.
We all are.
I read stuff.
Esmeralda, you're next.
What? If Juliet is the sun, then the moon is jealous.
That's...
Of Juliet, the sun she is.
All I know is Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead. Such a good movie, by the way. Have you ever seen that one?
Shakespeare in Love is awesome.
Oh, that's a good
movie,
too. 312-981-7200. We've done great sports movies. What's your favorite Shakespearean play? Griffin did Midsummer Night's Dream today at school. I know the popcorn is addictive, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Are you going to be okay? I promise we'll take a break in a few minutes and you can have some more skinny pop.
I was just thinking, I was like, hopefully people can't hear me chewing the popcorn.
It's not the popcorn, it's the bag. Yeah.
Guys smacking on
no,
the
they
air.
Can't. They can't hear anything. It's fine. No, go ahead.
What are you doing?
Did you ever perform any Shakespearean plays when you were in high school or college?
I did not, but I was an English major at the University of Illinois, and mm-hmm. I had to read all the plays. Mm-hmm.
No dramatic readings in class.
No, dramatic. I've seen a lot of Door County. They have Shakespeare. Door Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm.
And, field trip. I love to
Craig,
see
I smell field trip.
It's awesome because it's in the outdoors, mm-hmm. right?
Is it in the round? So they have it
in the round, and there's a tree, which is sort of like that's where the base, it's where everything works. And it's wonderful, you know? So Midsummer Night's Dream in that, environment. It was really, really cool. Enjoy it.
I haven't seen a Shakespeare play in a long time. I just haven't. That's something I go out and do anymore. I don't go to the theater anymore. Although I did see a show called Where Did We Sit on the Bus, which I think you would love, about where Latinos fit in the, you know, the sort of culture and the conversation about race.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it was very good.
And where was that? What theater?
Brian Quijada did it at the Storefront Theater, which is at 66 East Randolph.
Was that the reading you were doing?
I did. Well, wrote another play, which is a kind of a updated modern version, actually a futuristic dystopian version of Prince and the Pauper by Mark Twain. That's really cool. Yeah, I haven't done a reading in years, and it gave me goosebumps to be a part of this. I was really flattered that he invited me.
And I know it sounds kind of not a lot of people are doing this, but I envied so much. We had these friends in Wisconsin. We had the Wilsons. They would have people come over and they do these play readings. And
yes.
I thought it was the neatest thing to do.
We should have a salon. Why don't we do a salon where we do
I'd love to do it.
Yes, let's do that.
We would read different parts.
It would be our show. Should we do like a night where we do like reading different parts?
Yeah, sure.
Craig, Craig does not sound like he's all in on that.
So
whatever.
Sounds
good. Hopefully, Patty will forget what you just said. Right?
Well, can't wait.
We do the whole play or just like readings from the play?
I think
like
do
scenes?
A segment.
I think scenes.
Yeah,
we can't do the whole play on our show.
Yeah.
Ooh, 312-981-7200. Please text us the play you would like us to read scenes from.
Why don't we do a small snippet of the play for like a month? And then maybe we get the whole plan.
I like that. So every
like a whole act or something.
Let's say like
a month.
Every whatever night's good for you, Senator. Like yeah. Is Thursday's good for our
Thursday's play night at my house. Anyway.
So. All right. So let's do Thursday nights. Scott Sanders will be here. He'll enjoy doing.
And we're not going to tell you what
the
play
is. I was going to slide.
No, wait. Let's turn this into a game, too. We won't tell you the play or anything. The first person to call in to tell us what the play is or the scene or the act or something gets a prize.
Absolutely gets a prize.
We doing this radio play style?
Yes.
Some special effects?
Yeah. We're going to have tons of special
like
effects.
Coconuts.
I will provide them all.
I guess.
That's bag crinkling.
Crinkling.
That'll be a popcorn bag.
That'll be in the stage directions.
Good.
I like it. Well, we could also expand it to like movie scenes and stuff like that.
We should do just all kinds
angry
of
walking.
Scenes.
Angry walking.
Angry walking.
He's very upset.
Also known as slapping countertop.
Slapping countertop.
Yeah.
Yes, Craig, what were you saying?
No, I like these directions. They're really specific. It's very nicely done.
Very much so.
No, let's do movies. I like that idea if we don't have to do Shakespeare.
You could also do screenplays, like reading screenplays for movies, which is also
exactly.
kind of fun.
All right,
yeah.
then.
Yeah. Let's do all kinds of stuff.
We start next week?
Let's start right now.
Right.
I'll get you guys a script for the next break.
Okay, find us
Rocky.
A script for the next break or whenever we can. We have time. We have time after midnight. We can do it after midnight.
Yeah, we'll do it after midnight.
Yeah, we'll pull a scene. What?
Oh, great.
Yes, we're going to start tonight. Is it something for the four of us so we can send something up to Esmeralda?
I don't know. I feel like Senator Katowski just gave me an idea for something that the two of you could do.
Oh. That sounds wrong and inappropriate.
Hey. Hey. Something the two of you could read. Do you guys could read on the air.
I do feel like we have to do something a little bit light. We have sort of a heavy conversation coming up with Holly Simon. I think people are feeling a little stressed. Are you following this story from the rally on Friday with the Chicago Teachers Union and the speaker who basically told the Chicago Police Department F you and the reaction that the police department is responding, which is appropriate to be angry that really this is a representative. I mean, it boggles my mind that two, you know, groups of people who we rely on every single day, the police department and our teachers, are now butting heads. This seems to be exactly what the governor would want, is to see the unions devour each other and hate each other and be at odds.
Well, independent of the governor, mm-hmm. it's representative of the lowest common denominator, and where people are just you've talked about it earlier on your show, where people think that the best way to reach others is to be as offensive as you possibly can be,
to tear each other down. How do you elevate yourself by tearing others down?
You don't.
That's insane.
I mean, if you study anything about the civil rights movement or anything where we made progress, it's like, how do you bring out the better angels of people in our country? You can stand up for causes without
being... better angels.
Yeah.
Is that yours or somebody else's?
No, it's a total ripoff.
Okay.
It's
beautiful.
I just think, how do you appeal to that? And I think, you know, one of the things that the president illustrated when he went down to Springfield, he's like, okay, well, I'm going to rise above a lot of this petty stuff and just and talk about how can you be a statesman or a stateswoman? And it's kind of becoming a lost art in our country, mm-hmm. where people rise above the noise and rise above negativity and say, you know what, let's take the third way so we can bring people together and get something done. And it's like a teacher should automatically, I don't know any teacher in the course of my life, mm-hmm. who would ever support anyone speaking that way.
No!
Never.
It seems to go completely against everything we are taught, which is to be articulate, to be
thoughtful,
to be thought right. That's not thoughtful.
Kind,
F the police.
To be
constructive,
to be insightful, constructive, yes. to reason, have a reasoned argument,
move the conversation forward.
I remember how many different times I remember people saying, "I was getting, Dan, you should think before you speak."
Right,
and that's. It's a basic precept that everybody should be following right now.
Yeah, now it's ugly.
It is.
And to see, you know, the entire teachers union and all the teachers, and I've seen posts today. In particular, there's a gentleman from the northwest side of Chicago who has run for public office who is saying, you know, just the 20% that didn't vote for Karen Lewis stand with the police department. Well, that's an assumption that you can't possibly quantify in any way. But But I mean, so shouldn't it be that these are a few rotten apples in the same way we agree that the entire police department is not represented by those that do the worst?
Yes.
Right? That we support the police department. We support the teachers' union and the teachers who do the best jobs. And the ones that are ruining it for everybody else, those are the ones that we isolate and go, you don't get it. See, you're not doing the right job. You're not doing the right thing.
There's honor in public service, and they're public servants. And they're there to help people to be safe, or to help kids achieve their potential and live better lives. And,
right.
And the fact remains is that when something like this happens, it should be just real swift. You know what? That was completely, entirely inappropriate. And that doesn't represent the views
right.
of our unions or 99.9% of the teachers in the state of Illinois, in the city of Chicago. My dad taught till he was 79 years old. All of my aunts taught. They were all public school teachers. They all devoted their lives. My other aunt taught at a private school. My aunt Pitsy, my aunt Bunny, my aunt Jill, they all taught. They were all teachers. My brother Joe's a teacher. My brother Mike's a teacher. And they love teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, that is so far from what they do and who they are and the values that they encompass in their lives. And just it's just a quick. The problem right now that we're having is people are like have such a hard time distancing themselves from really bad behavior.
Yeah.
You know, and just say, you know what, that's not who we are. And that's on both sides. Like the fact is, it took forever for them to say, you know what, we don't condone or support law enforcement acting in a way that's inappropriate and
violent
and hurtful yeah. and violent. That we don't support that. And where's the voice on that end saying that? And it should be someone should be saying that repeatedly and say, you know, and by the way,
yeah.
I grew up with police officers in my community. Great people, decent people. Cared about, they were very involved. They coached baseball. They coached football.
Right.
You know, they were church going people. And then grew up with teachers, you know, loving, kind, decent people, wanted to be better, wanted to be successful. And by the way, corrected your grammar all the time.
Yes.
And, you know, okay. But that's yeah. the thing is like, and it just, it's killing me right now in that our country that when somebody screws up, the last thing they want to do is basically say, or when somebody else screws up and say, you know what, that was wrong.
No one wants to say that they're wrong.
I don't support that. And they think it's a way of giving quarter or showing weakness. And that's not weakness. Anybody who's married knows that
right.
That keeping a marriage strong and intact is or any relationship means that you're able to say, you're sorry, I screwed up, right?
And if the other person isn't able to accept it, then there's something much deeper wrong
completely.
Going on. More after this on 720 WGN. By the way, I'm often wrong. I'll accept that all the time. 312-981-7200. You can tell us if we're wrong or if you agree or disagree, whatever you want to tell us. 312-981-7200. Always invited to join the conversation. Have some popcorn, will you?
At least he is not a book burner, you Nazi cow.
At least I'm not married to the biggest horse's ass in three counties.
All right, Beulah, do you want to step outside?
What, Craig? How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Some of my favorite scenes in any movie.
You're going to read this one of these nights that we do a is that from?
It's from Field of Dreams. Oh, what, that's the name of the game?
Yeah, I think that's the name of the game. What is that from?
What's that from?
Mm-hmm.
I like it. Yeah, that's going to be the name of the game. Perfect. Well done, Craig. Yeah, that's every time we go to a PTL meeting, Steve's always, you know, he's like, where's the nearest exit? What's the safest route to depart?
I had a moment that happened at a town hall meeting when I was still in the Senate, and I had this town hall meeting in Roselle, and it was packed with people. There are people who sent out this distribution said that I was hosting a gun control recruitment meeting, and it was a complete lie.
Recruiting gun control
advocates.
Okay.
And you know, I've advocated for, you know, gun safety measures and things
for
like that.
For reasonable behavior.
Yeah, but it was mm-hmm. basically so several hundred people showed up expecting me to have this recruitment meeting. And it was just a town hall
like
meeting.
Like cultish or something.
Yeah, and then they were like, okay, and then it was just like something out of you know, anything that you've ever seen in a movie. People's guy stood up and he started yelling and screaming at everyone. There was like cheering. There was a woman at the end who stood up. She couldn't have been 4'11". Her name's mm-hmm. Maureen. And she stood up and she looked at all these guys. And there were all these guys who were trying to be disruptive. And she stood up and she said, if you think this country's so bad, why don't you go tell it to Putin? And they all like moved back. They all recoiled. right? They all recoiled. Right. They, I've never seen anything like that. And she said, these people are out here. They're working hard. They're having this meeting. They're listening to you yell at them for 2.5 hours. And people are like, yeah, you know, they are doing it. And it was kind of like it was a turning point. And she said, just go tell it to Putin. And she left the room and it was dead silence. And then I said, the only thing I could think of was like, thanks, Mom. I'm so glad you could show up,
sure,
right?
Sure, sure.
You know, and it was, but it was one of those moments. It was like Annie in
Stop the Show.
The Dream. It just completely stopped it. But right. She was.
You have to, so there has to be a moment of changing the dynamic with the direction of something. If it's people are yelling and, you know, there seems to be a stronger voice, when someone can kind of step up and go, hold on a second.
And she, and the thing was great about it is that there's all these people and they were you know, they're all bigger men, and she was this powerful person who happened to be a woman who was, you know, not the tallest, but she stood up to all these guys, and it was like they all went back in time and they were in school with all these they were at Catholic school and a nun was reprimanding them. They were all like, you just see their body like it was just phenomenal.
They're having flashbacks.
And she was, because she was fearless.
Yeah.
She's like, you're not going to bully, you know what I mean? You're not going to bully him in front of me. And I was like, my God. And it was just, it was a great thing.
Maureen has come to other town hall meetings?
No, it was just the only one she came to, but she came to see because, you know, to be quite honest with her, they're most of the people who are, you know, who support the Second Amendment. They're decent, law-abiding people. They just, you know.
But and there are decent people, gun control advocates.
Yeah, they're,
if we could all assume. Yeah. I was talking about this a couple weeks ago. If we can all assume that what we all seek is protecting what we hold most dear, which is our livelihoods, our family,
right,
our way of life. If we can just accept that that's what other people strive for.
Well,
how is that? Start from there.
You start from, that's what I said. I said, listen, I have two kids, and I worry about their safety. I'm concerned about the fact that they could be a victim of a gun crime.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I've been held up. I said, here's the bills that I've introduced. And it ended up being reasonable. But a lot of these people had this perception of me that was ginned up by this information that was basically false. But it was a fascinating thing. I've never been in a situation like that, and I don't think
she defused the whole thing, and she did a mic drop. She walked out and said,
just walked out.
Let's do this. I'm gonna walk out right now. More after this on 720 WGN.
You're listening to Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, and now a scene from Something.
But if there can be no arrangement, then we are at an impasse.
I'm afraid, though, I can't compete with you physically, and you're no match for my brains.
You're that smart.
Let me put it this way. Have you ever heard of Plato, Aristotle, Socrates?
Yes.
Morons.
Really? In that case, I challenge you to a battle of wits.
For the princess? To the death? I accept.
Good. Then pour the wine. Inhale this, but do not touch.
I smell nothing.
What you do not smell is called iocane powder. It is odorless, tasteless, dissolves instantly in liquid, and is among the more deadlier poisons known to man. All right. Where is the poison? The battle of wits has begun. It ends when you decide, and we both drink, and find out who is right and who is dead.
But it's so simple. All I have to do is divine from what I know of you. Are you the sort of man who would put the poison into his own goblet or his enemies? Now, a clever man would put the poison into his own goblet because he would know that only a great fool would reach for what he was given. I'm not a great fool, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of you. But you must have known I was not a great fool. You would have counted on it. So I can clearly not choose the wine in front of me.
You've made your decision then?
Not remotely, because iocane comes from Australia, as everyone knows. And Australia is entirely people with criminals. And criminals are used to having people not trust them, as you are not trusted by me. So I can clearly not choose the wine in front of you.
Truly, you have a dizzying intellect.
Wait till I get going. Where was I?
Australia.
Yes, Australia. And you must have suspected I would have known the powder's origin, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of me.
You're just stalling now.
You'd like to think that, wouldn't you? You've beaten my giant, which means you're exceptionally strong. So you could have put the poison in your own goblet, trusting on your own strength to save you. So I can clearly not choose the wine in front of you. But you've also bested my Spaniard, which also means you have studied. And in studying, you must have learned that man is mortal. So you could have put the poison as far from yourself as possible, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of me.
You're trying to trick me into giving away something.
It has worked. You've given everything away. I know where the poison is.
Then make your choice.
I will, and I choose. What in the world can that be?
What? Where? I don't see anything.
Oh, well. I could have sworn I thought something. No matter. The man.
What's so funny?
I'll tell you in a minute. First, let's drink. Me from my glass, and you from yours.
You guessed wrong.
You only think I guessed wrong. That's what's so funny. I switched glasses when your back was turned, you fool.
Mm-hmm.
You fell victim to one of the classic blunders. The most famous, never get involved in a land war in Asia, but only slightly less well known is this. Never go in against a Sicilian when death is on the line. Scene.
I need a death thud. I was trying to get the crack. I'm like, I need a death thud.
I have the sounder. I don't know why it didn't. This was death thud. Okay. By the way, we have Paul on the line, I believe.
I know. And you handed me the sheet of paper with the prize list. And
yeah,
then
it's over there.
And then I got in the middle of all
it
my
got
script.
Got stuck in all your scripts.
Got all my script. I have mm-hmm. it. I got it. Oh, we have a pair of tickets to the Sensory Overload at the Montgomery Club on April 14th. So we have that for our winner, whoever can figure out what's that from. It's a brain teaser. I know it's a long shot. Let's see if we have if Paul has an answer for us. Paul, first of all, how are you doing tonight?
Paul is doing well. Thank you very much.
I like that Paul is talking about himself in the third person. This is already enjoyable.
Dan thinks you're awesome.
Patty thinks you are as well.
Real quick question from Craig. Does Paul think that Dan did an excellent job reading his role? Because that was a pretty amazing reading.
Yes, what does Paul think?
Craig thinks it was.
Paul
thinks that everybody did an amazing job reading their role.
I think next time we'll have Esmeralda read the stage directions.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I think that was
someone needed the sound effects.
Like the sound effects, what was happening in the scene, all of those things. So,
to be honest, we thought of this 10 minutes ago.
I could see it in my mind as I heard you read it.
Are you in the Chicagoland area, Paul?
I am not.
Okay, so I'm going to give you a different gift because this is something that's for the Chicagoland area, and I don't want to. If you happen to have the answer, so I have an Apt Electronics gift card for you, and you can order things online with that gift card. Just so you know, if you happen to win, you can go to apt.com. Paul, what scene? What's that from? What movie is that from? That scene
That is from The Princess Bride.
Yay, Craig is applauding Paul.
The phone lit up pretty quickly, so I'm going to go ahead and say one line in, and you knew what we were reading from, didn't you?
I would say that would be correct, yes.
Yeah, right away. Was it the line, or was it the reading by Senator Katowski of Vizzini?
It was the line.
It was the line. Well,
come on, Paul.
He said you did an excellent job.
Paul must be a relative of mine.
He's not
giving any props.
Can't give you any credit. Where are you
he's
calling?
Like, it was the line.
It was the whole package.
The whole package.
Yes.
He said it was the whole package.
The first time. Yeah.
All right. Paul, where are you calling from?
Greencastle, Indiana.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah. We have this Apt Electronics gift card for you. We want to thank all of our friends at Apt Electronics in Glenview. And again, you can go to apt.com. Craig will get your information. What do you think? Is this a game we should keep, or was that just kind of a one and done? What do you think?
Oh, no. Keep it.
Keep it.
It's wonderful.
What's that from? Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Senator Katowski and Craig, for creating a new segment for Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. All right, Paul, hang on the line, and Craig will get your information. Like that. That's how this magic, kismet.
Just happened.
Everything lines up at the right time in the right place. You were here for that.
He was so good for my self-esteem as a reader. He was, Paul.
Yeah, you were great. Yeah, you now have to be here every Thursday.
Hopefully different voices.
Boy, yeah, whatever's in your head.
Hey, whatever.
All right, whatever it takes. Maybe we went
Spider Rico was a bum, Rock.
I forgot to invite you to Raging Bull on Tuesday.
Yeah, I know.
How did you know?
I had forgotten to invite a lot of things.
We saw Raging Bull at the
movie
club.
Oh my God, I forgot to invite you to my birthday.
I know, it's all right. I don't
I
mind.
Forgot that we got these free tickets
I,
to the...
I said happy birthday to you a day late, and I apologize.
I forgot to give you $1 million you were supposed to get.
I gave you a cake.
You did give me a cake.
With the Cubs logo on it.
It was excellent cake.
You know why?
What?
Because this is the year.
This is, well, you know what? It is a year. It's 2016.
It could be the year.
It could be a year.
We don't, the doesn't, can mean anything.
Here's what happened last year, right? Here's what happened in the playoffs. I had a guy call me up as a Sox fan. He's like, listen, enjoy it. This is going to be great. This is your year. Enjoy it. I'm like, you know what? I'm enjoying it. But once a Sox fan starts telling me to enjoy it, this is our year. I'm like, get out of Dodge because I know he's putting the whammy on
the apocalypse,
it.
Right? The apocalypse.
He's putting
is coming.
The whammy on it. It's
yeah.
a curse.
Yeah.
So anytime I run into someone's like, oh, no. It's our year. I don't know.
You I'm
know,
not saying it's our year. I'm saying it's
it could
it's,
be the year.
It could be, it the, could be year.
The year. 2016.
The is implied. What is the indicate?
I just, I like seeing him play great baseball. It's mm-hmm. a lot of fun. It's enjoyable.
Yes.
See, I've been in, we've been in high expectation land before. It's
not a, like this. This
sure
is,
we have.
When were we in high expectation land
I
like
think
this?
We're post 2003 and it was madness. We was in the ballpark. It was 2004. It was opening day. Every inning people were standing up and it was like bedlam in the field. They were like, oh, we're going this year. We almost went to the World Series even when we blew it. And I mean, there was high expectations and people act like, you know, it hasn't existed before. We've had great lineups before. I just think to temper it, and I think I love Joe Maddon.
We've never had a pitcher that does Pilates and yoga on the mound. There's something.
Yeah, we used to have a pitcher who drank a case of beer a day.
I'm saying that's why this is different.
this is different.
There's something. I don't know.
There's something magical about Pilates.
I was going to say that. I was going to say that. But I withheld.
Magical?
I was going to, and I did not. I withheld.
There's also a guy who does punches Pilates, and he washes his hand before every workout.
Good old punches Pilates. Part of it, too, do you think, is it just the fact that the Cubs did so well last year and then they got people during the offseason that maybe they usually don't get? They made big, you know, additions to the team?
Hey, Craig, what's the score right now in the Cubs game?
I'll look it up.
They're winning.
I know they're winning.
They're winning.
What was that noise? You're like on the mound.
14-6.
14-6.
Yeah.
Game three.
Mm-hmm. Game three of the season.
I go back to 19. We were 81. We were 47-22 at the break, and we ended up 81-81. I mean, so.
Please.
Listen.
What was it? 80, what was it? Yes.
That Cubs score is a final.
All right, 3-0. World Series.
Undefeated season.
World Series.
Undefeated season.
We're the greatest team ever.
Craig, in 3 days, three games, how many runs have the Cubs got?
486.
It's amazing. 486. We'll check out
that. They've gotten 29.
29.
And they've given up 7 runs.
29 runs. That's crazy.
They're outscoring.
There was a year where they didn't have 29 until after 48 games.
It was an all-star there. Break. And they're like, can someone give us a run? Give
us. They only had 28
could you just,
runs.
Could you just hit me when I'm at bat?
Just hand me a run. Can you do something?
They're just leaning into the pitch.
Only run they had was like a Run DMC album. That's it.
Oh, is that, sir? Come on, dance. Everyone dance. Come on, Craig. You can do this. Come on, Esmeralda.
Esmeralda's not dancing.
She is. I'm swaying. She's swaying. She's got it. She's in it. Esmeralda and I have been to a Cubs game together. We enjoyed ourselves mightily.
I want
to go
won.
To a Cubs game. They did win that night. It was a great season last year. This is shaping up to be a remarkable beginning of the year.
It is.
How you doing there, sir?
Really good.
Senator Dan Katowski, now the CEO of ChildServe. You can go to ChildServe, ChildServ. They leave the E off.
Because the work is not done yet.
.org.
Boom. Yes. And by the way, the Chicago Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
We're having Child Serve Day at the Chicago Eagles football game. We have the indoor football team.
Great.
And my friend Brian Brundage owns the team. He donated 800 tickets for our clients, for our staff, in honor of Child Abuse Prevention Month over at UIC. They're playing
Wonderful.
On Saturday night against the Omaha Beef. But the Chicago Eagles against Omaha Beef, but it's in honor of Child Abuse Prevention Month. They're donated. We sent every single one of our foster parents got 4 tickets to go to the game. That's really
that'll
exciting.
Be fun.
Yeah, well, you know what? As you know, time away, you know, from home, going out, having fun with family, it's just a great thing to do. And you know, and they don't have to pay because going to a sports outing, a sports event, is so expensive.
It is. And, they were talking about like Chicago going to Wrigley is one of the most expensive ballparks to go in the country.
Yeah, it's
costly. I think it's like one or two. It's like $140 once you pay for parking and food and drinks and tickets.
That's why when my dad took all five of us, we'd sit in the grandstand, and he would make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and he'd have pops, right? Mm-hmm. But he always would put the sandwiches on the bottom of the bag.
I like the idea of your dad sneaking food and drinks. And
It wasn't a big deal back then.
It was like a picnic?
He was just bringing it, but he would give you the sandwich, and they would kind of be like, the pops would serve as like a roller, and the sandwiches would be kind of rolled out.
Mushed.
And they were peanut butter and jelly, and I was like, he's like, here's your sandwich. I'm like, I'm not going to eat that. You're going to eat it. And so it was a tasty remembrance.
Your peanut butter and jelly flatbread.
Exactly.
You know what that was?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
And, also, real quick.
Yes.
Was that Omaha Beefs?
Yes, Omaha Beef. Beef, yeah. Beef or beefs? Is it plural or just the beef?
I think it's the Omaha Beef.
We should have gone with at least the bison, the Omaha herd. I'm sorry. What? Esmeralda and I
heard.
We both got caught on the same word, and I was just.
I saw it. I was like, wait, what?
I was like, just thinking of like their helmet with like a slab of meat on the side of it.
Oh, it's like a big old. Well, I find it's like a steer head.
I think it's
a very angry
steer. But like Chicago Eagles is kind of a unique name too.
It's great.
Yeah.
Eagle, it's got its talons on.
Right.
It's
they
got
swoop its, down
yes.
and steal rats.
Which she's saying.
Love eagles.
Yeah. Owls.
I do.
They're predatory animals.
They're beautiful.
Birds, I apologize. Yes.
And they mate for life. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
And these are the kinds of things. Do we not have that at our fingertips?
I did not have that information.
Do you know that Duffy, up in charge of production upstairs, runs all of our promos? He enjoys watching the live eagle cam. Apparently there's these eagle conservatories, and they have cameras on the eagles so you can see this nest that this mother eagle is tending.
I didn't know what your segue with Duffy was going to be. You know, it's like, Duffy upstairs, he mates for life too.
I am watching it. They're sleeping.
Which eagle cam are you watching?
Yeah, which one? There's a nest, right?
Are you watching Minnesota?
Swan Lake? I don't know where that is.
I'm going to watch D.C.
Really? So I had this fascination. We go to a place called Big Sand Lake in Wisconsin, and there's an eagle's nest up there. And I would go to the tree and just sit and watch the eagle at the top branch. Because at sundown, at dusk, it's just beautiful the way the sun... reflected off their feathers. I just sit there and just very stoically
very majestic.
And beautifully. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. And it was, I would sit there, but people were like, look at the kid from Rogers Park just staring at the eagle. Because it was a little weird.
By the way, did you see this thing where Rogers Park is like one of the top neighborhoods in the country to live in? And I guess I'm saying it in a disparaging way.
Wow. What do they hate?
I'm not hating. Rogers I'm just, Park. I'm a little suspicious. I'm a little suspicious that Rogers Park is amongst one of the best neighborhoods in the country.
Is it the new up and coming?
Something like that.
No. It was
in Austin, Texas.
It was voted as the best current. By the way,
in Chicago. Best neighborhood
for
in Chicago.
Families.
Yeah.
Pat is going straight city right now. You have to see the fingers pointing out. The best in Chicago.
Yes.
Quick update from the Eagle Cam. They are still sleeping.
Oh.
This is really boring.
They'll be up in like 3 hours. They're like.
We'll wait.
Everyone wait.
Okay. Early risers.
They are. Well, at least the birds around here, they're always squawking at 3 a.m. It's moving. I think it's just adjusting itself.
Ooh, yeah, he just adjusted it.
At Avon Lake Bald Eagle Cam, Eaglet 2 has hatched, just so we're all aware of that.
Nice.
Even birds have to adjust during the night.
Here, let me see if I can.
He's moving his. Oh, no, he just dug his head in. Here, okay.
I don't know if this is live or not, but there you go. Yeah, it's at 126. Oh. There you go. Craig, we have now switched over to Eagle Cam. The Pretty Late Show with Patty Vasquez is now all Eagle Cams. If you could please choose an eagle in different parts of the world, we'd appreciate your reports.
All we do for 3 hours is tell you what's going on the live Eagle Cam.
This is so interesting.
The eagle has woken up and is now moving his
eagle
head back
is
and
awake.
Forth.
Sorry.
Is this kind of twitching? I think it's twitching
a
little bit.
There's a fish in the nest.
It is 12:27. The eagle is currently biting some part of his nest.
I think he seems a little annoyed by the camera on. He's not looking up at the camera. He does not want to have anything to do with this eagle cam. So you can go. You can Google eagle while you're listening to the show. You can also watch. This is perfect pairing.
Right.
This is what's the best live camera event to watch while listening to Pretty Late.
I think
this is a new service that we should provide to people.
312-981-7200. Please call in with your eagle cam updates if you have any.
Or what are you watching?
Mm-hmm.
Let's not get too.
Yeah, let's not. Let's just the eagle cam.
Did I ever tell you the story about when I was The first time you saw me in the chambers, not chambers, in not sorry, not chambers, yeah, on the floor of the Senate when I was in the press box.
Yeah,
have I ever told you this story?
No.
Okay, so I've told the story on the air, but it's a little bit weirder now. You know, I'm trying to be all professional. I've been given permission to hang out in the press box.
Right.
I'm a broadcaster. This is an opinion show, not a journalism show. We have the news at the top and the bottom of the hour, and that's
right.
where our journalists report the news. I was going to observe and to share stories with our listeners, but I was also spending some time alone on the road, and I went to open my laptop, and it was a little loud. I couldn't, and even closing, it was my brand new Mac, and I was trying to close, and you still hear and the girl next to me in the press box, I finally get the volume off, and she goes, I know. She goes, I've been there. She goes, sometimes I open my computer in the morning, and I'm like, great, now everyone knows I listen to Alanis Morissette.
No, really. I love the contrast.
It was the sweetest. Yeah. Like, it's okay. It's not a big deal. You like Doggy Style. I like Alanis Morissette.
Oh my goodness.
Do we have a break?
What?
Good. You are listening to The Daytime with host Patty Vasquez in the Allstate Showcase Studio, and I am joined by one of our favorites here on Pretty Late, Holly Simon, who is a fellow warrior mom. I would say warrior mom. That's why I did what I did earlier this week, Holly.
Okay, tell everybody what you did.
I did. Well, and some of our listeners know, I sometimes before I go to bed, I scroll through my Facebook feed, see what people are up to, check in what my friends are doing, and I have 5,000 people on there, so
yes,
friends is kind of a loose term. people who I have associated with, maybe have other friends in common. It's kind of people who I have in common.
Right, right.
And I came across a story a young comedian was telling,
mm-hmm.
and she happened to use the R word.
Correct.
And just to be clear, there are people who will text in and ask me what the R word is, and it's hard because I don't like repeating it. It's mm-hmm. physically painful.
Right.
I have had to have my moments, as you call it, schooling somebody.
Yes. Ooh.
Which is telling someone, hey, by the way, just so you know.
Correct.
Just let them let you know this is my thought mm-hmm. on using that word.
Correct.
There's no accountability when it comes to people using the word retard. Or
right.
retarded.
You said it.
And I know. I'm going to say it because, to be clear, right, okay. I'm not going to say the N-word because in this time in our culture, we
right.
have come to the point where it isn't acceptable to say it. Even if it's in description, it's hard to hear it. And people right now just heard me say the R-word and we're like, oh, I wish she hadn't said that. Exactly.
Right.
Which is how we got to this point.
Okay.
Because I was just going to unfriend. I was just going to remove this young comedian from my list
mm-hmm.
and just move on. Because
right.
I have posted on my Facebook before, if that's a word you intend to use or you're going to use, I'm just going to remove you because I don't need to see it.
Right.
It's just not how I want to spend my time on Facebook.
Right.
And when I did that, I had someone get very angry at me.
Mm-hmm.
Don't tell me what to say. No. I'm not telling you what to say. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you what I don't want to see.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to remove myself from the situation.
Absolutely.
And that was my intention.
Right.
I swear, Holly, that was my intention.
Until you did what?
I saw that somebody else had asked her not to use the word.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually said, please don't use that word.
Right. Simple.
And he even said, please.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else, just a very simple request, which mm-hmm. could have just been ignored.
Correct.
Or they could have said no. But right. instead, people got on and started yelling. Like, not. I mean, it's Facebook, so you can't yell. But started attacking him and calling him names,
yes,
including the C word, calling him a stupid C word.
Yes.
Which I've been called in the last few weeks in
wow.
reaction to conversations we've had on this show. So I decided I'm not going to be silent on this, at least to let him know he's not the only one, that he's not alone, and to let all the other people that were jumping on him perhaps have another place. So I was just going to put, I'm not going to tell you what to say. It's just disappointing.
Right.
As you may know, I am the mother of a child with special needs.
Right.
That word is hateful and ugly.
Right.
Carry on. That was all I was going to write.
Okay.
And I believe I posted that. And then I doubled back and I went, I don't know what happened. And I was like, you know who would also react? But I'm going to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And I shouldn't have. I tagged Holly Simon and dragged you into
But tell me what you said a minute ago, why you were looking for, this is like the funniest thing ever. I've never been called a weapon before.
Yes. It's that line from The Untouchables, right?
Love it.
She brought a knife to a gunfight. I brought Holly Simon.
Okay.
So
I'm ready to go to bed.
You were going to bed at 7 a.m. too?
Okay, so maybe I wasn't sleeping, but I casually look on Facebook to where I have like 300 messages.
Did you get messaged before you even said anything? You were being tagged?
Yours was the first one. I was like, Patty's tagged you in something, and then there's responses.
They were responding to me
and
to you without you having said anything beyond what I said?
No.
Oh, I have no idea what anybody said.
I was already called a C-word, so, I told you I was a little flattered. I've never called that before. So I
tag teamed. I went, you know what, Holly, your turn.
Right. Patty's like, I'm going to bed. I'm bringing the Top Gun in. Holly's turn. So Holly merely says, hey, girl, young girl, I just wanted to say that you've been schooled on why it hurts us.
Right.
Could you please refrain from using the R word? And then my phone blew up for the next 4 hours while you were
Yours does? Because I unfriended her, right? I immediately unfriended her.
I didn't unfriend her right away.
But were you Facebook friends with her?
No. But underneath that feed, since my name was in there, anybody who replied to my comment, I would get that post.
Because I commented, and I think I got one, and then I just turned off notifications.
But I commented.
So you didn't turn off notifications?
No, of course not. I was like, game on, man. I got my guns out. Okay. I want to play.
All right.
I mean, for a split. Okay, so let me explain to the world what she said then. So she continued to call me the C word and you the C word. But then my friends were telling me some really funny things I didn't quite understand. I was actually in the car, and a friend texted me and said something ridiculous about my hair, and I go, huh?
Right.
And she goes, oh, the lady on Facebook. And equally, I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. So when I got home and I looked, she had written an entire post just about you and I.
Yes.
To Holly Simon and Patty Vasquez.
I think she called you Holly Sims at that point.
And some of it. And then she did get it right. I thought I was dual named. You know, Top mm-hmm. Guns get two names sometimes on the marquee. So
nice.
Yeah. Well played.
Yeah.
So she continued to call us both the C word. But this is when it got fun. So she said that I look like a skunk. Okay, that's really, really original. Mm-hmm. Good material. And then she went on to say that I own a tanning salon in Arizona, and I live on the forest floor.
Right.
And I'm a Nazi.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All things that are verifiable. Yeah, clearly.
I'm Jewish. So
your profile, it's clear. Yes.
I didn't care for the Nazi comment. The owning a tan salon. Okay, you're clever. I was tan in my photo. Okay. Mm-hmm. But
so she's creating this universe because she's so angry.
She made this person up, this Holly Sims, to be this incredibly interesting character.
You're making leather sandals, are you?
I was making sandals with crosses and seashells and glittery stuff on them. And she wanted to be known as the queen and the goddess of, and I'm sorry, but I'm going to say it, but that we both can go to, can I say hell on it?
Yes.
We can go to hell, and she wants to be known as the queen of all retards. Okay. Mm-hmm. So my friends were waiting for this show, and they're actually waiting up right now.
Oh, are they really? Hi, everybody.
Yeah. And they all said, go give her some Holly. But this is what I really want to say. Thank you for taking the time to make a post about me and you. I thought it was actually quite entertaining that you spent that much time.
In such a world of delusion.
Right. That's the, that's
a little creativity. There was maybe on something.
Okay,
She's opened up her
one
horizons.
One of my friends said that.
A little mind-altering situations.
Thank you for bringing such ignorance into my lap. Because without this, I would not have the platform in which I have now. And I will say to this comedian, on your best day, you will never be as lucky or as blessed as I am to have Nathaniel and Declan in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So game on, little girl. You may private me anytime you'd like. I will meet you for coffee. I will refrain from slinging mud at you because that will get our children nowhere. There are bullies amongst us. They live next door. They're at our schools.
Thank you for letting us know where you are.
And thank you for this comedian, as we now will come into your show. And mm-hmm. now we won't. We're not going to do anything because
there's nothing to do.
Because you exist.
Mm-hmm.
You showed Patty and I that you exist. And all we did was say, please refrain. And you went batshit crazy on us. And we want to thank you for it because we can't be ignorant to the fact that our world has changed. It's not unicorns. And, oh, I think she said that, too. Something about unicorns with us. But it's not unicorns and rainbows.
She used the reference. She was saying that I'm trying to censor her. I don't have the power to censor anybody. I don't have the power to suppress, to keep anyone from saying anything they want to say. I'm so angry all of a sudden. No, I mean, in my reaction, in my request, in her anger back, is she trying to censor me by her own logic?
Absolutely.
But there is no censorship there. There's no effort to censorship.
But you never said
there's
that.
A request. No, I didn't. I'm not. But by the way, when Facebook took down her page, if you look at that as censorship, that was because then you did devolve into hateful language directed towards us, towards people
crime.
In our community.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the initial post, I made a request to that. I did not alert Facebook. I did not say this was hate language. I said it was ugly and hateful.
Thank you to my friends who did report her because she doesn't need a platform. I will allow her a platform. And like you said, please meet me. I'd love for you to get a little slice of this and talk. No, for real, Patty.
No, because once I saw that spiral out of control, you see that this is not someone who can be reasoned with.
I hear you. I hear you.
I tried with reason and a request and even pleading,
but
and then I got angry.
She hid behind the comedy. I'm a comic. How dare you?
Right.
Okay. So what we're saying here is you're not funny. The one thing that she did that I love.
Funny
the
is
most,
objective.
But I mean, I'm just saying Holly's world.
Yes.
In Holly's world, okay, you're not funny. You're a bully. So when she went on to say Holly who? I want to tell you who Holly is. Holly is a mom. She's an advocate. She's a friend. She is loud and she can be outspoken.
Mm-hmm.
But she is honest and truthful and raw and loving. And if you want to pick on somebody, come on.
And that's why I pulled you into that little discussion. I was like, oh, you want to play?
You want a piece of this?
You know?
I'm bringing in my Top Gun.
I'm bringing all the bats and balls.
So we know they're out there.
Yes. Well, and that was the entire sort of realization I had when I was looking at the feed. I was like, oh, these are not reasonable human beings.
Right.
They have talked them into a corner themselves into believing that we can be hateful as long as we wrap ourselves in the cloak of artistic freedom.
So what do we do?
But you can. No, but you can have artistic freedom. But then that means that there can be comments about it.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get angry, it's that they don't want to say that they're wrong,
right.
And they may never believe that they are wrong.
Mm-hmm. You touched a nerve. I mean, on her,
yes.
For her to go so crazy.
I mean, but if you really believe in what you said, then my reaction to it should not affect you at all. You should just go, oh, that's what Patty Vasquez thinks. I'm just going to keep doing what I do.
What do we do? Because this isn't just about
And what we do is have the conversation.
Right.
This is why I brought you into the. To the feed.
Absolutely.
That's why I tagged you. I would like to have the
sleep.
Conversation.
Yeah.
All right.
Right.
Well, I know that I saw some dry leaves and I said, look, I have some gasoline. I have this can of gasoline. Oh, where can I find a match? Hold on. Let's see what Holly Simon is doing. We'll find out what Holly Simon is up to more after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and we are in the Allstate Showcase studio. I wanted Holly to have the chance to come in a little bit early, so we are recording this because you've brought Nate with you. Thank you so much. Always great to see Nate and his beautiful green eyes.
Yeah, he's awesome.
And I started a little bit of trouble on Facebook. I don't think I've ever gotten in this big of an argument on Facebook before. Maybe,
seriously?
Chick-fil-A. When the CEO or whoever he was said that he came out against gay marriage and it was very public, and I may have said a few things that got other people angry. I didn't. And here was the difference was I was not attacked by this comedian, nor did I actually attack her. Mm-hmm. I was stepping into a conversation where this comedian had used the R word and I was disappointed and I intended to just unfriend her.
Mm-hmm.
But when I saw people attack another Facebook acquaintance who just asked her not to use the word and they got really nasty about it, I can't walk away from that.
Right?
I just found it impossible to walk away. But I also was like, I've been in fights like this before. When I was in high school, there was another kid in my class, we were sophomores, and he was calling a kid the R word. And I said, why don't you stop it? All I said, the same thing. It was exactly the same thing. And I said, why don't you stop? And he came over and ended up picking a fist fight with me. And I completely was fine with that. But at the same time, like there was all, there's this fighting and you're punching and you're hitting and you're kicking because somebody can't be a decent human being. And that's what made me so angry about this comic. She couldn't be decent to another human who just made a request, a simple request. Please don't use that word, was all he said. So I had to step in. But this time I'm like, you know what? I've gotten into this fight before. I'm not going alone. I know somebody who will be relentless. I'm relentless in the sense that I'm going to be like, well, this just happened. And I didn't think it was going to bubble up this badly. I didn't know that she was going to so I apologize for unleashing someone who is clearly unbalanced. Correct. So I apologize to you, Holly.
Never. Do not apologize to me. Like I told you earlier, I'm enjoying this. In a sick sort of way, this gives us a purpose. We need to educate. You guys,
it shines a light on people who behave this way.
This woman is a mother. She's a mother, okay? She's somebody's daughter. She lives next door to someone. She has a job. She's coming in contact with other people.
Right.
When we went out to Pontiac, one of the things that I wanted to get across and that I loved about our speech that day was it isn't just about yourself anymore. It's not about just you stopping your behavior or you ending the R word. It's not just about the R word. It's about respect and disrespect and being mean to someone.
And giving permission to dehumanize and to diminish and to completely dismiss somebody because you think they are less than.
So what I want the world to do, and it's not happening, is instead of just being accountable for yourself, is could you please try to be accountable to the person that you hear is saying something so repulsive?
Right.
Could you just please, like you did, even though you might not have wanted to put your foot into such mud, you did, and then you threw a gun in and a grenade, and I thank you for that.
I don't think I can finish this off. I'm going to just go ahead and light this match. I need to bring in the rest of the TNT.
I love that more than you know. It's hilarious. Because I didn't ask to be this person. I just became this person. Because he's so sweet and loving. He's not fighting for himself. Someone has to fight for these kids and these adults. And so that's what I'm asking us as a community to do. We start here in Chicago. When you hear somebody being ignorant, please educate them. Please stop them in their tracks and say, that is offensive to me and let me tell you why. I don't yell at anyone when I hear them say that. They do see a look of disdain in my face, and then they I'm sorry, and I go, no, it's okay. But from now on, please know that there are other words that can be used instead of retard and retarded.
Well, and
there
the thing is,
wonderful words.
And she's saying that this is in my rotation of humor, but there, like you said, there are other words, but the reason you employ that, the reason that you use that as a weapon is because it's easily recognizable to your audience. Mm-hmm. Like you said, it's not just being responsible for yourself. You are initiating something because you know it's a trigger for everyone else to go, all the other descriptions of kids like ours. Mm-hmm. You are reflecting them. Mm-hmm. It's not just that you believe 100%. That word is okay. And so it is, and you encourage that. You make it okay for them to then use it on the streets or in the schools or at home with their children. Hiding behind the cloak of artistic license, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But then you have to also be prepared for the person that's going to go, not funny, not acceptable.
Let's be honest that we know, you and I both know, it's not the word. Mm-hmm. It's not just the word.
It's the intent behind
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's you're making fun of my son. How are you not understanding that?
And why can't people, when we say that's hurtful, their immediate reaction, and we've talked about this time and time again on this show, if I say that is hurtful, my reaction to that is pain.
Of course.
Then I don't understand why the reception of that information can't be, I didn't think of it that way.
It has to be,
no, you're a horrible person. You're doing something. You're making me do that. And they spiral into rage rather than just kind of accepting the information, acknowledging it. You don't have to agree with it. You don't have to change.
Right.
But you're just going to have to go, that's person's truth. That's what they said. They said that. Oh, look, that happened. That's all.
Right.
But to attack us.
I met someone this morning. She happened to be a psychiatrist, and she saw the feed. She was talking about the feed. And she had mentioned that what happened was you touched a trigger in this person, and it made her explode. That's her shortcoming, not ours.
No.
So what we do, we pity her. We feel sorry for her because you know what? Our life will always be better.
Well, and we exposed, unknowingly and without planning to, we exposed who she is,
she's not the only
one. She's showing to the world.
Right. So I thank her for letting herself be so vivid and vibrant
and honest.
And,
yeah.
Yeah. Go there for it, go. Girlfriend. You won mm-hmm. your end.
Yeah. There you go. You've shown everybody. We also gave her the opportunity
absolutely.
To show her colors, to display what she really believes in her heart.
So I thank you.
Yes.
I thank you for this discussion.
For revealing yourself.
And the dialogue.
It is. It's a revelation.
And you're not the only one.
To know that there are hateful people out there who want to diminish others. At the expense of artistic freedom.
It's okay. Always prevail. Goodness will always work.
Holly Simon, how can we find your book, I Am Who I Am? Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. It is flying off the shelf, you guys. I'm so excited. The reviews have been magnificent. You can buy your copy at lulu.com, L-U-L-U.com, mm-hmm. or find us at www.iam-whoiam.com.
And do you have any other events coming up? Since I didn't get to come to last week's book signing.
Oh, my gosh, you were so missed. Yeah, actually, February.
Wow.
Where am
how,
I?
How early did we record this?
April.
It's April. It's okay.
April 21st. I'm going to be in Forest Park mm-hmm. At Gaetano's Restaurant on Madison. And then we actually have something in Northwest Indiana that we're working on. We're going to merge with the Down Syndrome Association of Northwest Indiana, and we're going to offer some really cool classes for all of our teens and our adults.
Wonderful.
So we've got a lot of really amazingly huge, wonderful, life-changing things ahead.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Holly Simon. I will think twice before I do anything like that again. I know.
I loved it.
I know, but it was so early
on.
In the morning. You have so much to take care of. You're the mother of five, breast cancer survivor, and one of our favorite guests. And you're a powerhouse, and I really admire you. Thank you so
Thank
much
you.
For being my Holly Simon weapon.
I love you.
More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Again, that conversation with Holly Simon was pre-recorded because Nate the Great was with her, and I wanted him to be able to get home and get some sleep. He was hanging out with her, and we recorded that earlier, and we appreciate all the calls, the texts, the messages of support when it comes to just confronting someone that you really feel as being hurtful. So thank you, everyone, for that. We have Senator Dan Katowski in the studio with us. He is now the CEO of ChildServe. You can go to childserve.org. That's C-H-I-L-D-S-E-R-V. Leave the E off.
Because the work is not done yet.
.org. Not that all that part, but just childserve.org. And we also have in studio with us, we have comedian Chris J. Fair, who is the laser comedian. How are you doing, Chris?
I am well. How are you?
LG. That's what
LG.
We decided. Does anyone call you LG?
No, but they will now.
They will. Why do we call you the laser comedian? Laser guy.
You know what? I would just meet people, and because when I do my show, I'm behind a laser screen.
Mm-hmm.
No one really knows what I look like.
Right.
This is a blessing and a curse. But but then I mentioned something about my show, and people's eyes light up, and they go, "Oh my God, you're the laser guy!"
You are. You're the laser guy.
I'm just like, yeah.
I know you as Chris, so it's helpful.
Oh yeah.
Do you now when you do a different venue, is there a point where they bring the lights up, or do you always kind of stay anonymous from the
I start off in the light
mm-hmm.
and
then they forget what you look like.
Yeah, apparently they're so mesmerized by the lasers.
Yes.
I start off in the light, and I introduce myself, I introduce the show, I get a suggestion,
mm-hmm.
I'll show them my cool shirt, which then I say, like, you know, it's for sale. And then turn lights off.
Mm-hmm.
I
go behind, get to work.
I get to work. I go behind the screen, and then at the end, I come out and I thank everybody.
It's very cool, Senator. He has this laser that he draws a story. He kind of tells a story through this laser light, and as he goes, like, the laser lasts for a while on this big screen on the sheet. And so, you know, like, when I was there, it was a game show, and it was food. It was potato and. I can't remember there may have been a pickle involved.
Yeah, a pickle was hosting this game show where it's like a dating game,
mm-hmm.
but the potato is looking for her sandwich
yes.
date. Yeah. And it was,
and this is all from the mad mind, the voices in Chris J. Fair's
yeah,
head.
That was just I improvised that set, and then I was like, oh, this is great, and now I'm going to do it again. So that's when I do sketch.
Mm-hmm. Right, so you bring it from improv to sketch. The elements that you liked, you know that what you want to work on mm-hmm. and develop and bring out. What do you have coming up? You have a show coming up for...
I have a run at Second City's DeMott Theater, part mm-hmm. of the training center. It's Fridays at 10 p.m. I believe they do serve beer in there now.
I like how that's
great.
A selling point.
Oh, absolutely.
I believe that beverages of the alcoholic nature are available.
Yes, because before they opened up, they opened up opened up a new bar. I believe it's called 1959, I think. And since they opened it up, now you can bring booze into the DeMott Theater.
Which is not necessary to see your show.
No, it's not necessary. It's, you can be stone sober and still have a
or
good time.
Or stoned, but that's not... Either way. We're not judging.
Either way, we're not.
Stoned and sober.
Stoned and sober.
You know, for his show, I believe that Stephen Colbert may have covered the show in some regard.
Oh, yes. Okay, earlier this week on Monday night, Nick Offerman from Parks and Rec was on Colbert, and he's from... Minooka, Illinois, and I think I called it Mokina earlier. I feel really bad about that.
No.
Here, it's just too like.
Craig
friends.
Has the audio. Do you want the audio?
Yeah, you just play it.
Yeah. Wow.
Speaking of libraries, on Tuesday, head on down to the Minooka Branch Library for a special laser comedy show. It's like a regular comedy show, but with a greater chance you'll be blinded.
And that's your laser show.
Yes.
What were you doing at the library?
A show for children. And parents, apparently.
There were a lot of parents?
Yeah.
Well, how was the turnout after it was announced on the Stephen Colbert show?
Well, they had 17 registered, and then I'm pretty sure like 40 people showed up.
Oh, that's really great.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the only thing about that is I feel totally bad. I spaced out and didn't send them the picture, like my logo.
Right.
And pictures. So then like they just put what they had on the website up.
Which was what? It's just laser comedy show.
That's it.
And without
no
your name.
Pictures without my...
If you had your name, yeah. this is a missed opportunity, see?
Absolutely.
Preparation and follow through is... What were the chances, Chris?
I know.
What were the chances that a show you were doing for a library, which I'm guessing wasn't, you know, a whole lot of pay? Was there any pay?
Actually, it was a pay cut, but, you know, I take opportunities where I get opportunities.
Yeah, so keep working, right?
Sure. Yeah.
So, but what do you think you're going to book a gig... And that's going to be the thing that Stephen Colbert talks about on his show.
Oh, that's great.
I know.
You know what? You got the clip, but now you're on the Patty Vasquez show. You're hitting
absolutely.
Well, yeah. We'll keep playing the clip and then saying your name afterwards. Stephen Colbert was talking about Chris J. Fair, his show at Second City DeMott Theater, Fridays and Saturdays. At what time?
Oh, just Fridays.
Just Fridays at 10.
10 p.m.
I'm trying to expand your calendar here.
Oh, I wish.
Take the opportunity.
I do have some expansion to do on that, but it's Fridays, 10 p.m., through April. So the 8th, the 15th, the 22nd, and the 29th.
Excellent.
I'll have two opening acts, and then I'll do a sketch, and then I'll improvise the rest of the hour.
You kind of want to see the laser show a little bit.
I do. Well,
I can show you a little bit right here.
You?
I have a t-shirt right here.
He does it right on
but
his
you
shirt.
Can't awesome. See it. But
do you
can't
want me to turn the lights on?
Yeah.
Craig's like, could you not walk away from your microphone? I'm so distracted easily.
All so,
there you go.
Oh, my gosh.
It's all very dark in here now. There you go. There you go. So, are you doing improvising? Do you want a suggestion from the senator for?
Sure. Yeah. I was just going to draw a robot. But.
There you go. He has to be a robot.
Draw a robot?
Yeah.
Yeah. A robot who's got a toupee who's running for president.
Oh, okay.
There you go. That should be pretty well done. See, by the way, go to WGNradio.com and you can see Chris Fair doing his laser show as highlighted by Stephen Colbert on the Stephen Colbert Show earlier this week. He performed at the Mokina, Chicago, the public library.
Minooka. Minooka.
Oh, see, you got me.
See, I know. It's a
Minooka.
Different. Minooka.
Minooka.
It's a different
town. We should
walk
people through what he's doing right now.
All right. So go ahead, Senator. You can walk him through the.
Oh, you. This is.
No, he is. He has a green laser light on his shirt, and he has drawn the outline of the robot face. He's done the mouth and sort of triangular eyes. He's now put like what looks like a mushroom top. See, if you're watching.
It's a wig.
That looks a little bit phallic, but that's okay.
No, he said it's a wig.
It's a wig.
So does a certain presidential candidate's head.
Yes. Well, he put a head on that one. Very
and
well.
Then I put a little antenna on top of it.
Why is he? Oh, because he's still a robot.
I am running for president. I will lead. Yep.
There you go.
He was at a sketch fest, right?
Yes, he was.
Oh, my God. You were the laser guy. Oh, my God. I saw
that. Love the laser guy.
That was so great, that show. That's this guy.
Thank you. How much
Skinny Pop popcorn and Revolutionary Revolutionary Road beer did you have? Here you go, Chris.
I totally
give you flashbacks. Just to give you
my gosh. I'm Skinny having Pop. Nightmares.
This is great. We've never been in the dark.
Oh, yes, we have.
Figuratively.
You mean literally.
Literally.
Yes.
In this studio before.
Yes.
There's always been a lot of light, a lot of clarity.
Do you want some candles? Do you want to look? Even Craig's booth is off. Esmeralda, turn your lights off in the studio.
Esmeralda, turn your lights off.
Turn your lights off.
Turn them off.
WGN Radio Pretty Late has gone dark.
We have gone dark.
We're conserving energy. We didn't do it on the you know, Green Day, whatever that was.
Oh.
We're doing
Green
today.
Day. I like Green Day.
Green Day?
Yeah, me too. Dookie was the first album I ever bought.
How expensive is a shirt like that where you can do laser on? How expensive?
He sells them.
I sell them. $40 and you get a laser.
You can draw on yourself.
Yeah.
So when you're in a meeting, you go, okay, if you don't understand what I'm saying, let me spell it out for you.
Turn the lights off. I'm going to draw a little picture for you.
Okay.
Turn the lights off.
Now
this
is when it got weird.
I get these shirts from my brother's company. Yes. I'm going to give them a shout out. It's
shout
called
out.
Hyphy Color, H-Y-P-H-Y Color. You can go to hyphycolor.com. You can buy a bunch of different design shirts, all types of things, if you like going to raves and like that.
Do they still do raves? Is that still a thing?
Oh, yeah. No, like musical festivals.
All right.
You know?
So that's what that's a rave is. That's the definition of a rave, to musical festival?
Technically, no.
I don't think so.
A rave was I thought that was more of these like parties that are
It's like a party. It's in a warehouse, but like these are like musical festivals where my brother goes to. He's like a vendor and he sells all types of cool laser reactive stuff.
Glow in the dark.
Really?
Yeah.
Were you into lasers from the time you were your kids? And
no.
Is this a new thing? Is this
like we had lasers? He found it at a festival. And then the guy told him how to do it, and so he just started making T-shirts and all types of products.
Well, when did you start doing lasers in your act? When did
I started doing it about 5 years ago when I had an epiphany. I was like, I like to draw. I like to act and make people laugh. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't know this was going to be funny when I started doing it. People just started laughing. I'm like, okay, I'm going to keep doing this.
Nice. Yeah,
and it worked out very well.
Yeah, cool. So far, really so good.
Very nice. Well, we have another comedian in the green room that we're going to bring in just a moment and find out what kind of laser light show he has. I don't know.
Okay.
Let's get the lights out.
What?
I like this.
You want to leave
competition?
The lights off?
Yes.
Well, it's like everybody else. I mean, I'm sure they're
this is pretty late,
tucked
Craig.
In. Yeah. Kind of tucked in.
So we have to soften our voices a little bit.
Yeah,
and hey, if it's time for you to go to bed, hey, maybe Chris can do a bedtime story on his shirt. More after this on 720 WGN. I can't see the buttons. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. State Senator Dan Katowski is spraying Lysol all over the studio. I'm not really sure what he thought's happened since the last time we were on. It's Clorox. Why are you spraying Clorox on them?
I don't know.
It's Kevin Naughton enters the studio, and you're like, I have to disinfect something.
I never
Comedian
that.
Kevin Naughton
no.
is in the studio as well. Comedian Chris Fair is in the studio. Chris has shows at Second City's DeMont Theater on Friday nights at 10 o'clock.
Yes.
Now there's beer. And also available.
Oh, yeah.
It's a selling point. You also wanted to promote something else before we forget.
Oh, yes. This Sunday at noon, I will be doing a kid show, a musical kid show, at Concerts for Kids at the Beet Kitchen.
No beer.
Sweet.
Yes, beer.
If
you are of age.
Near beer. Not for the
kids. If you are of age, you can get beer, which is, I'm sure, a selling point for many parents.
At Beet Kitchen at noon on Sunday.
Yes.
Excellent. It's another comedy show for kids. It's a musical concert.
Yes, yes.
Wonderful. Kevin Naughton, are you doing any kids parties?
Yeah, I'm doing kids parties. I got that. This will be great. Sunday at noon, voices in my head will start to speak very loudly. Yeah, churches will clear out, and they'll finally come and they'll say, "Boy, I was hearing a lot of stuff. What was that? It was the calliope music and what was going on in my skull."
That'll happen.
Thank you.
Particularly on Sundays. Senator Katowski was asking if you were the Naughtons. Is there a group of Naughtons that you're familiar with?
The Naughton Family Singers?
Trying to cross over the Alps? Into
they were. They're crossing over the Alps. Yes.
The Von Naughton family.
We are 16 going.
Going on 17.
Yes. I went to high school with the Naughton.
Okay.
Good people.
Just the one Naughton.
I would.
Once they
got
out of jail, they totally redeemed themselves.
Well, I'm glad you met my old man. That's important right there. Yeah. Thanks a lot. Yeah. He used to get out every other weekend. You must have hit him on the good thing. He bought coffee cake for everyone, though.
He did. It was great.
Oh, that's always nice. Yeah. Bring some for everybody.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Walked the circle, smoked his cigarettes, did his shots of meds. and somehow We're at WGN Radio.
And that's right. It's the magic. By the way, Esmeralda still has her lights off. I feel bad that we turned our back on.
Oh,
Craig.
We turn in the
No, I like the way you look great with
wow,
it.
Wow, that looks pretty cool.
It does. Yeah. How, can you? Is everything like? Does it affect the? Yeah, we're turning our lights back off, Esmeralda, just for you. Craig turned his off. Yeah, there we go.
Well, the
done.
Computers are very bright.
Yes, it does. It's a little. Hi, Kevin.
Oh yeah. This is so now nice. We're bringing back some memories. Yeah, thank you.
Just take you back.
Oh, that's all right. Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's like spin the bottle in seventh grade.
By the way, I'm the LMNOP comedian. for my own private reasons here, I didn't know we were going to have the LG comedian who's now drawing on himself.
He is drawing on himself. Well, there are worse things that could happen to himself. Kevin, you have a show coming up on Monday night
I
at
do,
Zanies.
8:30. Thank you, Patty. Of course. It's Snapshots is the name of it, and it's just a variety of comedians, people...
on the verge of...
On the verge, yeah.
You were probably wondering why I don't come do that show since you saw me come running into the club in a rage over
baby,
a parking spot.
You lost it. I mean, what...
No, but it was, you know, I mean, come on. People who take up more than one spot for a parking space, and they don't leave enough for another car. But the guy was still in his car, and I rolled up next to him, and I said, hey, would you mind pulling up or backing up so that I could also fit on this block?
He, of course, complied.
Yes? He did, but just, like, not even enough, like, just, like, 2 feet. He had 6 feet in front of him. So he rolls up 4 feet. I'm like, all right, I'm still getting in the spot. Because you know what my superpower is? Parallel parking.
Nice.
Apparently, I almost killed Kevin Naughton in the process. Yeah, I was causing a traffic jam.
I was trying to cross the street at the time. I didn't know. If I knew it was Patty, I would have just stopped and said, hey, what's going on? And jumped in the van, and we could have had fun parallel parking, Patty. You know, just like we used to have fun parallel
yeah,
parking.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, then she came into the club. I found out it was her.
Yeah.
I never saw Patty. You know, you're welcome to come to my show and snap like that anytime you want. That was impressive. You scared me. And then she yelled at me from the stage in front of pretty much a packed house.
Yeah,
she yelled, shut up, Kevin. Oh, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to laugh, Patty. I found you to be hysterical at that moment.
It's one of those laughs where, like, it's a knowing laugh because he knows that I'm not making it. Like, you know, an audience sees a comic kind of losing it and they're like, oh, they've got this bit. No. She just walked in the door with that kind of rage. Because what have I said before? I don't play, Senator.
No, you don't play.
I don't play.
No, she doesn't play. And, you know, this is, I'm telling you, now, here's what gets me about what you're saying. I do that all the time.
Right.
You know, I just walk in like, what's bothering you now? Well, lemon-scented garbage bags. Let's cover it, okay?
Yeah, what's the point of that?
I don't know.
That's ridiculous.
You know, I want my garbage to stink. That way I know when to throw it out in the alley.
This is the fact.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Why
it's,
mask
it's masking
it?
What's going on?
Why make it tolerable? Then it's going to stick around. Yeah. You're not going to get it done. Get it out of the house.
I met Patty when on the street when she was parking her car.
No,
she was yelling at a meter.
No, the senator.
I was
actually,
like, "Why are you so mad at the meter?" Why?
We were actually at an event honoring him for his work for individuals who have epilepsy, and what do we call it? It's now it's actually called a patty melt. So you have your snapshots. I have patty melts.
You have patty melts.
I have patty melts. Where
that's
I rendered.
That's where we met.
That's not where we met, but that's where you saw the first patty melt.
I was supposed to meet Patty at her birthday party, but I wasn't invited.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was really hard.
I'm very sorry.
There's therapists in town.
Look, every second Monday of the month, or is it the first Tuesday? Okay. Every third Monday of the month, I have a show called Funny Females at Zanies. Every first Monday of the month.
Right around the first, second Monday. It depends on the situation.
Early in the month.
I also got Leap Day. I had February.
Ooh, Leap Day.
I got Leap Day. Yeah.
I had a show on Leap Day, too.
Did you? Yeah.
It's confusing.
I didn't know we could have used you for laser stuff and, you know.
What happens when we have Leap Day and, like, changing the clocks on the same day? That seems like absolute
madness. Leap clock, huh?
Leap clock. Yeah. That would be just chaos. What do you even do in that situation?
You know, I remember this has nothing to do with anything.
That's how my mind works, Kevin. Nothing has anything to do with anything. What do you think this show is about?
All of a sudden.
Nothing that has anything to do with anything.
That's right.
All of a sudden, I thought, wait a minute.
Leaping, and the clock's moving.
Yeah, this has nothing to do with nothing. I remember one time when they, in the fall, it's the fall back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Spring forward.
So I was driving on Lakeshore Drive, and I was at the intersection of Irving and Lakeshore Drive waiting for the light to change. And a drunk driver smashed into me.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, he hit me hard, man. And then he got out, and I knew the guy was, you know, all loaded up on, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he got out, and luckily the police had just pulled up by chance,
man.
And they saw this guy, and they had to take him away in cuffs. And
but that was on a leap, on a fallback.
That was on a fallback thing. Yeah, I don't have any funny stories about springing ahead just yet. But let me say, Patty, if you invite me back, I'll go home. I'll start creating stuff with laser tags and printers and all kind. And I'll bring my own senator. We'll have a BYOS. Bring your own senator.
I thought you were going to say like the clock changed.
And the light wouldn't change. The light, the light was stuck because it was on a timer.
You talked to the guy and he said an hour ago I wasn't this drunk.
See, that's a, yeah.
See, he's working on your bit.
That's always tear into it there, Senator. Who am I to stop anybody from having a good time in a dark room?
Well, here's the thing. I was trying to find an out of this story about this guy who wouldn't. So I'm trying to parallel park. I asked the guy to move up. He had 6 feet in front of him. He pulls up two. So I'm trying to still wedge myself in. And so I'm just wedged in there, and I have so much stress. And I thought it would have been very funny if he had just pulled out when I was done parallel parking. So that's how I end the story when I'm on. And then he just pulls out. Yeah, but he just sat there.
That's funny. I had a show on Saturday in like Bucktown where there's like no parking whatsoever. Oh, but like I found a space which it was literally like 6 inches longer than my car. And
yeah.
I go for it. I go for it. And it's like, 8-point turn.
Yeah.
And I did it. But right as I was going for it, another car like drove by me and just gave me a thumbs up. Like, yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah.
And I did it.
Did you ever have one where they like hang to see if you're going to fail? Because they're pretty sure they can do it. I've had people, I'm like, no, you go ahead and watch this magic.
Oh, I've been that
I'm taking
person.
All the paint off of these bumpers.
You know,
here's
the deal. If you come to my show on Monday, there'll be comedians hanging in the back of the room waiting for me to fail.
Yeah.
And so that they can go up and prove.
That's what we do sometimes. That's why I don't miss open mics. That's what I remember being in the back of the room. We could feel like the hope that other comics would just be miserable.
You know,
and
I
hated.
And she's right because when I first, I remember, I remember doing quite a few open mics myself, and there's a lot of animosity involved.
Just
and some people don't want to watch others succeed or do well or look like they're going to get somewhere. There are people out there that love to watch us fail.
Kevin, I once got heckled from the stage before I went up by another comedian.
Is that right?
Yeah, and it was, this is the weird thing about Facebook is that she recently liked something on my, I was like, after all these years, she's like following my Facebook page. She just pops up. I bet she liked it on accident. Did you ever do that? I don't know if anyone has that moment where you're like, oh, I didn't mean to like
Have
that.
You ever tagged yourself?
Yeah. I've had a whoops friend on Facebook.
Yeah.
Whoops. Oh, I don't like that person.
No, have you ever tagged yourself in a photo by accident? Like if you're looking at something on your phone and then it tags you in it?
Yep.
Yeah, that is the worst thing ever.
Or if it's an object.
Yeah, uh-huh.
If it's an object and you tag yourself in the picture. That's Esmeralda. You can't hear Esmeralda.
No,
you
can't hear anybody. Yeah. You didn't give me any cans, babe.
I've given you my cans. Out. More after this on 720W. We're telling horror stories off the air, Craig. Again, the show off the air that I wish we could air. Although there was no cussing, so I think we would have been fine. We could have talked about how long does it take to shake off a bad show. Chris was about to go into his, but I'm like, there's only so much of a song I can play.
Yeah, hey, where can I go after this? Because I got to shake this off, to be quite honest with you. I really want to know.
I was telling a story about when I was, and I've told it on the air before, that an audience expected Louis C.K., and it was me, and they were just, it took me, I sat on the couch at the condo just with my feet up going, I can't. Dude, I just can't. I wish I was. I was like, why couldn't I have been here an hour ago instead of on that stage with the hate coming at me? But Chris, you were saying that
when I used to do stand up during the first 5 years of my 20s, I did like the best 15 minutes of my life in Morris, Illinois.
Yeah,
and then the
what was her name? Sorry.
Oh,
hey,
whoa. Don't be stepping all over Route 47. Back off.
Put one on the board for the senator.
Now, by the way, Senator Dan, we are back on the air. I don't know.
Sorry about that. That's not the off the air show.
They're in my career.
And by the way, I'll multiply that by a number. But anyways,
come on.
Oh man.
I killed out in Morris, Illinois, and then the headliner of that show put me up in some town in Wisconsin. And did not do well at all. Like,
was it a small town?
A small town. There was a number of people there. Comcast was recording the show.
Oh.
So I don't think I got on TV that day. But there was like these two girls. These two girls were like in the second row talking the entire time.
Oh, God.
And then like everyone else was like 15 rows back. So you can only do so much.
There are nights that echo with you. I remember I was in Saginaw, Michigan, and this is at the very beginning of my career. So this is, you know, a long time ago, Kevin.
Yeah.
We don't have to say how long ago it was. But I still remember a guy, sound, like the where, you know, the DJ booth had chicken wire around it. Did you ever play Bubba's Roadside Inn in Saginaw, Michigan?
I think I know what you're talking
about. I don't know
about.
If it was
it's
Mueller or was some. It wasn't Mueller because Mueller did everything west of us.
It was John Yoder's Funny Business.
It was Yoder. It might have been a Yoder run.
It was an elder gentleman who ran the place.
Oh, I don't remember that part. All I remember is a guy in the audience going, "Who cares? Who cares?" The whole show, Senator. Who cares? I mean, like, every time I try to start a sentence, who cares?
I used to get the next. Next.
Come on.
Next. Oh, yeah. That's just that right there. Right there. See, next. That's when I know I'm in Chicago and it's time to fight right there.
And what was her name? So what?
Wow.
See how much it can work. You're following your lead.
Bad influence.
Patty, I don't know if you're aware. We are on the air. I'm just keep checking people.
Okay. Chris, I would never normally not.
Oh, wait a minute. I know who that was.
Shut up. We dated for a while. Yes, and then she yelled next and we were done.
I did not yell next. I was like, oh, look at the time.
This is, guys, this is not MTV in the early 2000s, okay?
Oh, by the way, yes. I'm going to talk about it. If you don't mind.
I don't mind.
Shooting off into another direction. One time, my German mother, with her thick accent, my brother had contacted my mother. My brother was working, and they were going to sell, somehow they were going to say something about U2 tickets, right? Mm-hmm. So do you remember I believe it was the 90s, they had that dance show called The Grind?
No, but was that like MTV?
It was MTV at about 3 in the afternoon, post, I guess, right after school. You know, the teenage kids would come home and they'd start grinding and bumping and carrying on, and it was sexual suggestion and all this
carrying
stuff.
Carrying on, Senator. He said
I just remember TRL is all I remember.
Okay.
Total Request Live, but I remember The Grind. Yeah,
okay, The Grind. Well, my brother asked my mother, hey, listen, he had heard through the grapevine that U2 was going to give some sort of indication as to when they were going to sell tickets, but you had to turn on MTV at 3 o'clock, and he contacted my mom. He said, Mom, I got nobody else to do this. Could you at least watch it? And if you hear anything, could you let me know? And, you know, and she said, like, of course I can. And she sat
mom.
That sweetheart of a woman with the thick German accent, all of a sudden I walked in 15 minutes after she was watching The Grind with all the bumping and the carrying on. And I said, and she had this face. And I said, Ma, what's the matter? You need to go to the hospital. What's wrong? And she said, look at all of this hibbling und hobbling. What are they doing? I don't understand this. Hibbling. And Jim asked me to watch this. Why am I watching all of this hibbling and hobbling? This is ridiculous. Ha! I'm going to get a sandwich.
And we'll never know if she heard any announcement for U2 tickets.
I don't think she knew or she cared. She just saw
hibbling and hobbling.
My mother was a dancer in Germany. She was a ballerina. And she was
this is not ballet.
No, this is not ballet. This is not ballet at all.
What is the etymology of hibbling and hobbling? Is that a... I've never heard that before, the source of it.
What? The senator has never met me before.
No.
I have a language I speak. It's called whatever I want to call it.
I love it.
Thank you.
Well, I thought it was just a phrase that was used. My mom.
She said, she's from Leipzig, Germany. She's from East Germany. She's a sweetheart, but she has her own way of interpreting everything. So when she sees kids dancing and they're dancing, just moving and gyrating and everything,
look at
this hibbling and hobbling. They don't know what why is it doing? Oh my! Why am I watching this?
It's jibbling and jabbling and wibbling and wobbling.
It's hibbling and hobbling.
And you wanted to tell me a story about someone, an encounter that you had recently. Was this recently?
No, this is quite some time ago, actually. Okay. It was a long time ago, but we were talking about comedians and how we got along and all this stuff. And one time, you remember the old Improv, of course?
The one here on Wells?
Yeah, the one
absolutely.
On Grand
and Wells. It was a beautiful room.
It was.
It had a balcony. It sat about 500 people in that room.
Yes.
Gorgeous. It was a gorgeous room.
I was there on a Saturday night working with, I won't mention.
Please.
No. Aww. I can't do it. Right, at this point.
Ooh, if I start guessing. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Don't.
No.
You probably will know.
Oh, I do know. Go ahead.
Oh, right.
Chuck Booms. Go ahead.
No, it wasn't Chuck Booms.
Just kidding.
Okay. All right. Well, let me just tell this story here. Boy, we are really killing some time right now, aren't we?
I'm sorry. Yeah. Go ahead.
We get done with the show, and I was, you know, Patty knows this. I'll explain this to everybody that's listening in. The improv used to take care of their opening acts. So you could be a headliner on the road, but if you stayed in town, worked at the improv, it was still an honor to work the room because they flew in their headliners from L.A. and New York, their features from L.A. and New York, and then the opening act would be from Chicago, you know. So I got fortunate enough to get booked there. I got booked there, and I was working with this one comedian who had done a number of Johnny Carson shows, and he was terrific, right? And he, rather heavy set fella, he's standing next to me, and it turned out we were standing, as the audience of 500 were leaving after a Saturday night, we were standing up against the display of pennants and sweatshirts and, you know, other souvenirs.
All the merch. You
know, all the merch. We're standing there, and people are being very kind, thanks, we had a wonderful time, and all of a sudden, the guy, we're just having a comics conversation. Mm-hmm. The comic next to me looks like he's about to fall asleep, and it turns out that he suffers from narcolepsy.
Ooh, dang.
And also, I didn't know it, but the gentleman was also gay.
Okay.
Okay. So I had never had this happen to me before, but we were standing there having a nice conversation, and all of a sudden, in the middle of the conversation, he hit on me.
Mm-hmm.
Verbally hit on me, and then passed out in the middle of the hit.
he ran out of gas
the advance. He looked at me, and he said, Kevin, you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to take you to my hotel room, and I'd like to... And I looked, what did you, I didn't even understand.
How are you flattered
you
by it?
You want to sleep with me?
You did.
I didn't understand what happened. I was baffled. I went and contacted the management immediately. I said, hey, is it? And he says, oh, yeah, we didn't tell you, but, you know, he's.
Yeah, how do you give someone the heads up on that?
Thank you for that little word there. speaking of things from the 90s.
Heads down on it.
There we go.
But that happened to me, and I thought I'd let you know.
Yeah. Now I got to know who it is. I won't throw any more names out there.
No. Vic Hitler, the narcoleptic comic, remember? Was.
Vic Hitler, yeah.
Yeah, that was his name.
I don't know Vic.
Vic Hitler was on Hill Street Blues. He was the narcoleptic comic.
What? Yeah. Okay, Google it.
Real quick, too, from the 773, just an update. The Southeast Eagle Cam is showing two eagles. One is awake and antsy now. The other is still sleeping. Ooh, for your awesome. Eagle Cam updates.
Oh, thank you for the Eagle Cam update.
I tell you what, if I tell one more story, maybe we can make both eagles pass out and just finish this thing off.
They'll just cuddle with each other. Have we decided who we're calling for our pretty late wake-up call?
I think we were debating.
Thinking about Lewis Black?
Yeah.
I think maybe we'll call Lewis Black. What?
I have no idea.
He's what? Not there's guaranteed to answer call? The phone.
No, we usually end up just leaving messages.
He's
for
probably so still up.
He might be still up, but he won't answer the phone. I just think that it's like somebody random. Because
I haven't talked to Lewis in a long time since he swore at me. It was great.
Why did he swear at you?
No, it was all good. We had a wonderful conversation. He said that if I ever came to New York, I better look him up. And then he just started to swear at me in the middle of Wells Street. And I'm like saying, hey, I'll see you, Lewis. It was great to meet you. Yeah, it was great to meet you, too. And then he just tore into me with language that, is in my head.
Let me see if I can
next
find
to the Calliope music.
I gotta see if I can find his number. Hold on a second. I'm looking for it right now. I don't know. I'm pretty sure I have it in my, let's see. I'm not going to tell you his name because I have it under his middle name, which is just, all right, more after this on 7. Wake me up before you go, because I'm not planning on going solo. You are listening pretty late. We are near the end of our show. Nick DiGilio is in, he'll be on the air next. Let me see what's coming up on Nick D's show before we move on. I want to let you know that he asks, do you have a piece of sports memorabilia and always wondered what it's worth? Call in to Nick D with a description and appraiser Michael Osaki of Baseball in the Attic will give you an estimate on air. It's coming up after 2:15. So that's Nick D's show's next. I wanted to address a couple things. Chris Fair, you have a tweet. DeFamilia says, great interview. Can't wait to see your show on Friday at Second City. So there you go.
She's her group, De...
Is it DeFamilia?
DeFamilia. It's okay. Like improvised, Godfather, I guess.
Yeah.
And
I love the logo.
They're going to be opening for the show on the last day, on the 29th.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. So that's their show on the 29th. I also wanted to address a tweet going back to our conversation about a Facebook acquaintance that I had that used the R word. He says, not defending the use of the word, but he's saying that perhaps because I'm kind of a strong person that she felt she had to defend herself. I don't know. I mean, because I have a platform. I do have somewhat of an advantage, but I didn't go after her on the radio until after it got really ugly on Facebook. I'm not going after her. I haven't named her. Either. I just am using the story as sort of, yes.
I don't understand.
Because of who I am, I guess, that I'm kind of aggressive, that perhaps she felt like she also had to defend herself. Maybe I backed her into a corner by saying that is a hurtful and ugly word.
Well, you said you were disappointed.
Yes, I was disappointed. That's all I said. I didn't go after her. I said I was disappointed. It was not even I was disappointed. It is disappointing.
The operative word you used was please.
Yeah.
It was very considerate. Yeah. You didn't say, I'm totally offended. What the hell's wrong with you?
Yeah, I didn't even attach any personal connotation. I'm just also offering up because I'm sure there are people who are listening thinking, that's kind of a shame that Patty went after somebody. I was disappointed. Please consider the feelings of others was all I was asking. But I'm saying I could see where someone might interpret it that way as well. We have a wake-up call to do. This is the part of the show where we call a friend of the show. And actually, this is a friend of the show that we've never had on the show. Can I call them a friend of the show, Kevin Naughton, if they've never been on the show? Like, you're a friend of the show. And even before you were on the show, you were a friend of the show because you're my friend. I think that counts, right?
Sure, I'll follow that logic and go along with you. And if we're talking about who I think we're talking about,
we're calling Lewis Black. We are calling Lewis Black, who's a good friend of mine. Sure. Do you think it's too late in the evening to be calling Lewis Black?
No.
All right, then. Is it ringing, Craig? Is it? I don't hear it ringing.
Think green. New York, right? Now is the time.
Oh, I hit a spot. I'm sorry. There it is. Sorry about that. Can you reload? Hello?
It's ringing.
So I'm calling Lewis Black's. I know. Is it weird that I have Lewis Black? I've called him and texted him about being on the show, and he always says yes, and then we're never able to line up.
Hi, Lewis Black here. Leave a message after the beep, and I'll get back to you if I can. Otherwise, I won't. All right. Thanks.
Oh,
there it is.
Lewis Black, it's Patty Vasquez at WGN Radio, and I really miss you. I thought I'd try to leave you a message. We're actually on the air right now. Thought we'd introduce you to all of my friends on the show.
Hello, Lewis.
Senator Dan Katowski. Over here we have, go ahead.
I'm Kevin Naughton. You and I met before, and you swore at me, and now I'm on Patty's show.
And
we're
that
thinking
seems,
about you, bro.
That seems appropriate. I think that we should all swear at Kevin Naughton when we have a chance. We also have another comedian friend of ours.
Hi, my name's Chris Farah. I do the Laser Comedy Show. I saw you perform at the Chicago Theater, and you were awesome.
There you go. This is the first call that we've done where people are like, are we actually talking to Lewis Black? Yes, we are actually leaving a message for Lewis Black in our producer's booth.
I'm Craig Collins, and I also think you're hilarious and amazing, and I've seen all of your specials on the Netflix and such.
Okay, every time we've done this with other guests that we've called and left a message, everyone's like, hi, I'm Craig. And,
yeah, we're whoever.
And
but
tonight everyone's like,
them.
Are we really? Yes, we're really calling. Lewis Black. Esmeralda Leon up in traffic.
Hi, Lewis Black.
Lewis, you have to let me leave a voicemail again tomorrow when everybody can be much cooler about this experience. We had a great show tonight. We started out talking about a little bit about what's going on in Chicago between the Chicago Teachers Union and the police department. We also have talked a little bit about, we actually did a scene from Princess Bride, which was a unique moment. We created a segment on the air. What else did we talk about, Senator Katowski, that you'd like to touch on?
We heard from two awesome comedians, Chris and Kevin.
Nice. We watched an Eagle Cam.
Yeah. We were watching an Eagle Cam.
We gave live Eagle Cam updates.
Yeah, which is riveting radio. I think that's going to be the highlight of my career.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, I did it.
It just happened.
You're an esteemed senator from the great state of Illinois, and you went with a pun. Okay, that's what you wanted to do.
Sorry about that, Lois.
Kevin Naughton and I exchange horror stories from the road, and you don't want to name the comedian that is narcoleptic and gay that hit on you at the improv.
I don't.
No,
I'm not.
Okay,
I'm not gonna
off the air
just yet. Oh, yeah,
if
sure.
I guess,
are you kidding?
Yeah. All right then.
I'll be out front with a bullhorn.
We promise not to fall asleep when you tell the story.
Yeah, no, we promise not to fall asleep. Kevin Naughton. Yeah. And Chris, you have shows coming up at Second City.
Yes, Second City, the Mott Theater, Fridays 10 p.m. through April.
Very cool.
And then kid shows. You can just go to lasercomedyshow.com. You can watch videos and see all my dates.
See, what's confusing to Lewis when he listens to this message is that it's on the air, so we're also talking to the audience and leaving this message. This is my favorite message we've ever left because it's going to make absolutely no sense.
Great message.
Yeah, my question was, are we still
on? Yes, no, we're going to fill the whole thing. The
And real quick, in the Eagle Cam update, she's still sleeping, so pretty much nothing is going on.
Is it just the one eagle in the Eagle
all
Cam?
All I see is one eagle at the moment. I think it might even be snowing.
Probably sitting on the babies.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I think you're probably right
it
about that.
It might be chilly. Mm.
Senator, if you had anything that you wanted to share with Lewis as far as the climate right now in the presidential primaries, you know, the tone, don't you kind of wish, is there anything that you hope for as we move forward as far as, you know, the way people are just going after each other and attacking? No one's able to really cut through the noise anymore. I don't have a guy, by the way. There's no one that I am.
You got a guy?
I don't got a guy or a gal.
I got a guy.
You got a guy? What's your guy? You don't have to tell me who it is, but what inspires you in this campaign right now?
Probably somebody who can fix his car.
I got a guy.
Yeah.
I got a guy who can spot eagles and fix cars.
On Sunday afternoons, the guy with the hood open smoking a cigarette. Yeah. He's your guy.
I got a laser.
That's my guy.
He's my
the laser guy.
I go back to what I said. I want someone who's gonna appeal to our better angels and come out.
You're so sweet. I just want to pat you on the head.
No. I just think it's like I want someone who's going to be strong, and someone who's going to be who recognizes the fact that what we want for our country.
You
is
have
what's
reached
best.
The maximum.
No!
Please deposit what? 25 cents for another 15 minutes.
There you were in the middle of this.
In the middle,
great
and I was about going.
Aspirational, yeah. Leaving a message for Lewis Black.
Humility comes every step of the way. Is this guy done? Is he done?
You have
reached
the maximum.
My God, how long are you going to go on about this better angel stuff?
You have to can that from me. We need that. You have reached the maximum amount of time in this message. Just for anybody who's talking, you've reached the maximum amount of time. Every time we have a politician on that hasn't finished their thought, you have reached the maximum amount of your message.
Yeah, this is not good because I know
Mick Vaughn could have said hello to Lewis Black, but apparently he was.
I hear I just missed that.
You just missed that. But how is the painting going in your home today?
Done.
You're done. Congratulations. He's just moved into a new condo down here.
I thought that was Jake Arrieta.
That's Vic Vaughn. He's our news guy. By the way, your photo of your sink with suds from someone else's condo is exactly why my husband will never let us buy a condo. Like, we can never live in a building with shared walls and floors.
Good choice. After that is a nightmare.
Someone put too much. Was it in their dishwasher or in their sink?
The theory is, according to the maintenance guys, that someone used the wrong soap. So, I don't know, maybe laundry detergent?
It flooded his kitchen. Flooded his kitchen. I mean, it's all
messed up when that just starts bubbling up. You know, you hear that? And then you can't do anything. It just comes out and it comes all over your floor.
You got a guy?
I got a guy.
He's got a guy.
I got a guy. Who's going to fix this situation?
Don't even worry.
But now your kitchen's really clean.
And rotting in certain places. I'm sorry. I don't know. Do you have to, does a building sort of account for that at all?
Totally. They were up. Like 5 minutes, they were up, and I did not even use so much as a napkin. They cleaned it all up.
That's
they repaired
awesome.
It, everything.
Well, see, that's the bonus.
That is the bonus.
My kitchen floods, and I'm out there with, like, you know, rags and paper towels. And I'm like, well, this is the only way the floor was going to get cleaned anyway.
Right. Mm-hmm. So the plus side was that they do all the work. Right. But.
They do all the work. Yeah, you have a beautiful view of the lakefront, it seems, and a really gorgeous place.
We should go over to
we're so happy.
Yeah, can we have a party?
Can we go to your house?
Yeah.
Your condo?
I'm in.
I think
we could do the show from there if you want.
Ranger.
Laser show.
Yeah. With
laser
show on
it. It's in my car. I can go get it.
Well, he's at work now.
Can we also do like a soap foam party?
That's a great idea. I'll call my neighbor.
Awesome.
Bubble it up. Laundry detergent again.
Hey, what was that stuff you used? That was great stuff.